Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Sink, and it's January 25th, 10 p.m., and this is the Christogenia Forum call. How you doing, Brett?
Hey. What were you saying? You lost your shows, the copies of all your shows? Or?
Well, no, everything's in place. It's just that something quit working on my website, my videos. Some Jew stole all my videos. None of them, I mean, Linda noticed it. None of them are there. They're all gone. I have no idea what happened to them. It's probably, I would think it's probably something up with my hosting provider that my video stopped playing.
That was a very poor, awful trick you pulled last Monday when I called in.
A very
when you,
trick? I didn't trick you.
When you said I'll give you some people to talk to, and you and you gave me some people to listen and talk to. the people.
I don't get
you.
It. I missed the whole reference. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I called in. I was talking about it was just me and you, and then you and then you let the other two people start talking, and I guess you unmuted them. Man, it was very entertaining. It was very enjoyable.
Did you think that I was picking on you or letting people beat up on you or something? I mean, you're a grown boy.
No. The two people talked. Well, I mean, they're probably listening, so I don't want to talk about them.
Well, the bottom line is that you're a big boy, Brett, and if you want to run your mouth, you got to take the heat, you know, and you got to be able to stand up for your convictions. That's all. That's the way it is. I mean, I end up in that predicament all the time. I get myself there. you know, I mean, if you make a public statement, you got to back it up, right?
Okay.
That's just the way it is. That's life. And the more that you do that, the more it will strengthen you. That's the way it is.
Haiti is now 1 hour away from where I live. They're bringing
them. Yeah, well, some of those Haitian girls are on old-fashioned bread. I mean, you're looking for an old-fashioned woman.
Oh, no.
They might be a little too old-fashioned.
No, thank you. No.
Yeah, that's disgusting, that thought. I shouldn't have said that.
But Atlanta's 4 hours from where I am, and Birmingham's 1 hour from where I am, and they're bringing them to both places.
I want to talk about Telegani. I'm going to move to talk about Telegani because, you know, Eli, I'm going to take a stab at Eli here, and he came on Sunday and did a whole show about Telegani. And I, speaking of Haiti, you know, Haiti reminds me of Telegani because they're into witchcraft.
I think a belief in Telegani
is basically a belief in witchcraft.
What's Telegani, Bill?
Well, Telegani is the belief that a sire can affect the genetic material that a mare might have in pregnancies with future sires. You know what I mean? If you impregnate a woman and then 10 years later somebody else does, or 5 years or 3 years later somebody else does, that some of your genetic material would be in that subsequent child.
Understand. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make the statement that I think that that's all voodoo and witchcraft.
Oh, yeah,
It's 19th century superstition. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe that because a woman is born with all of the oocytes, they're called.
Mm-hmm.
I can spell it, but I probably can't pronounce it. It's OOCYTE. It's an oocyte.
Mm-hmm.
And from these oocytes, I mean, a woman has like 100,000 of these things.
And all of her makeup is in those oocytes.
Yes, all of her genetic material, reproductive genetic material for the future, is in those oocytes. And as she, when she reaches puberty and matures into adolescence and starts to ovulate, the ovulation process is actually a little piece, one of those oocytes, breaking off and going down the fallopian tubes into her uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And it travels down to the fallopian tubes into her uterus, and when she engages in sexual relations, that ova is inseminated. It is fertilized by a sperma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that ova and that sperma join a protective shell, sort of, so to speak, omits any other sperm from getting into that ova. In other words, the ova will only admit one sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And each one, the ova and the sperm, have 23 chromosomes. And they join in pairs and create a child. And every cell in that child's body comes from the cell division of that first cell created by the egg and the sperm.
Wow.
And no blood is ever exchanged between the mother and the child. Only food and water are exchanged between the mother and the child. That's it. Nothing else. And waste. Blood is not exchanged. It's a miracle of birth. And you know, if you look at Africa, women with AIDS have babies that are healthy all the time. And then the babies get infected with AIDS through the breast milk.
So the blood comes from the paternal side, huh?
Every cell, including every blood cell, every cell that creates that human comes from that one egg and that one sperm.
Oh, I see.
And no genetic material or no other material that could affect the genetics of that offspring comes from the mother, except that one egg. So if you want to believe in telegoning, then you have to have a process, a biologically demonstrable process, in which the genetic material from a father, a sperm, can rewrite the DNA in every one of this woman's oocytes, which is like 100,000 of them. And that process has never been identified, and it'll never be identified because it doesn't exist. Because there's no way sperm can get out of that uterus, up those fallopian tubes, and into those oocytes. And a belief in telegony is a belief in witchcraft, period.
Well, it's just like a ritual.
Abel shared the womb with Cain, and Abel's
mm-hmm.
blood was considered righteous.
Yep. Well, that's what it sounds like, Jewish superstition to me. That's what it sounds like, the same so-called doctrine of original sin, where sin is some kind of a substance or mystical.
Well, exactly. And if, you know, Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé, they didn't address telegony, and they didn't have the knowledge of genetics that we have today, but they didn't address telegony the way they should have. They kind of made an excuse that somehow Eve had seven gestations and that cleansed her womb. Well, which is absolutely ridiculous, and it's absolutely unscriptural.
It's very simple to see, too. If you just look at it clearly, it's not difficult. I think that people are trying to spiritualize the oocytes of the woman somehow. It's stupid.
Well, it's basically witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
I have no other explanation for it. If you can't explain a biological process, then it's witchcraft. It's superstition and voodoo and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there are harmful chemical substances that can get into the food and water that are exchanged between a mother and a child. But they are not going to change the child's genetics. That's not the material from a former mate of this mother. That's harmful chemical substance. There's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same as a pumpkin seed and a watermelon seed.
Right. But when
yeah.
a child is born, every gene in the body of that child is the same as the genes that were that, you know, became the sum total of that one oocyte and that one sperma that you know, joined in union at conception and grew into that child. And there's no explainable or demonstrable mechanism by which those genes could be changed except by harmful chemical substances or something that's destructive. But that's not what Telegani is teaching. Telegani is teaching that somehow the genetic material from a former lover can somehow become meshed with the genetic material of the mother's eggs and create a third parent for a child. And that's just a bunch of voodoo garbage. I'm sorry. I can't buy any of that.
Voodoo madoodoo.
And I would challenge anybody who supports telegony, or if you want me to pronounce it that way, to explain the biological process by which this happens and to demonstrate it, because it doesn't happen, and they won't ever be able to explain it. And they'll use 19th century farm animal stories that are very that are extremely poorly documented.
Well, they can run down to Barnes and Noble's and they'd probably find a book on it.
Right. If Eve's genetics were somehow polluted and we're all polluted, then Yahshua Christ couldn't have been perfect, could he?
That's right. That's right.
And Abel couldn't have been righteous, and none of us would have ever been accepted by Yahweh.
Well, that's the same as saying it's the same trash as trying to spiritualize seed, right?
Right, exactly. It boils down to the same thing. They're mm-hmm. trying to get us to believe that we're all bastards, and the people that believe in telegony, that they fall into that trap. And I'm not falling into that trap. You have to show me, and I'm not even from Missouri.
Or Kentucky. Yeah.
So the whole telegony thing, it's as far as I'm concerned, it's straight voodoo. It's garbage. And I just had to make that statement in lieu of, of Eli's program Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you what, that all throughout my stupefied years of being a Judeo-Christian, I swallowed all kinds of stupid superstitious lies that, you know, we're all equal and being married was more important than race, you know. And,
oh, you mean being married in like a church?
Well, actually, my ex-wife, she was a Jew. And we got married by a nigger in Reno, Nevada. So, you know, that's not spiritual. That's race, right? So.
Well, marriage happens in a bed.
Oh, yeah. But it's fornication when you go outside of your own kind.
Well, that's what fornication is. Yeah, right. The church tries to redefine marriage so that they can control people.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was all that voodoo, madoodoo superstition that we're all equal and you got to hug every tree out there, you know. And, you can take a fish gene and put it in a tomato. It doesn't matter. Just buy the damn thing and eat it.
Right. That's Commander, nobody's ever provided hard evidence that Telegani is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
19th century, superstitious 19th century farmers.
Wow.
So they're just us three.
Yeah, that's it. It's just us three.
Is that Greg? Isn't that your name? Greg?
Oh, this is Bruce, Brett.
Oh, okay. Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Hello, brother. Praise Yahweh.
Well, right, Pilgrim, but I'm not going to let an immoral population redefine my words for me. Gay means happy, and homosexuality is sexual deviancy. I'm not going to let the population change my language.
Yeah, I don't think that even applied. That word gay wasn't even applied to queers and faggots 40 years ago, was it?
No,
it wasn't. Was
they had to come up with some word that they could, that the media could pull over the eyes of the public, and gay was it, I guess.
Yeah. I heard that's where the words guys and gals came from, because if you intermix them, it spells, you know, but that's what I was told. I don't know if that's true. Back in the 20s, the Russian sexual revolution.
I want to find out what Jew stole the videos off my web pages. I'll play up on that while I can.
Hey, Bill, you mentioned all these Jews, how they're starving the market like they did in the 20s. Well, and then you mentioned how they're buying up all the corporations in Oregon and Washington. You know, that's true, because, you know,
I didn't mention that. I'm being honest with you. You must
okay.
have confused this.
I probably mistake you with Eli, who was talking about that. Maybe,
okay.
Or don't quote me. But it was on one of the, might have been Pastor Dan, or might have been one. But I walked into one of these shipping offices there in Salem, Oregon, and sure enough, it was a Jew who was in charge of this place. And I mean, I can tell, people who are aware of the Jew, they can tell right away when they come in contact with one. Like Henry Ford and Adolf Hitler spoke of, but all of the names on the paperwork were all by Jews. But it's like they're buying up all these businesses after they starve the companies, and then they buy them up pennies on the dollar, take over their whole corporation. They're doing, obviously, they've done that to this country, and doing it.
Yeah, well, that's how they steal the wealth of. That's how they steal the nation's wealth, by
mm-hmm.
manipulating the financial markets. They've been doing it for they've been doing it and openly since 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, before 1913, they had to manipulate the financial markets behind the scenes, and it was a lot more difficult to do.
Yeah.
Dave, UK, there's no known, telegeny doesn't affect anything. There's no known mechanism for it. I'm sorry, it's just not there. The biological mechanism cannot exist. Because any foreign genetic material that even if it could enter into the mother's bloodstream, it would be attacked by her white blood cells. That's what the immune system does. It would be considered an infection. That's why you can't get a kidney transplant without taking all those drugs. Telegony is impossible. It's biologically impossible.
Now they're
show you proof. The proof is on your end. You have to show the proof of how suddenly the biological processes that work in every other instance stop working with sperm in the uterus. It just doesn't happen. You have to explain the mechanism, the biological mechanism. If you claim something happens, you explain the biological mechanism. Otherwise, you believe in voodoo. Because if you can't explain a biological mechanism for a process you claim happens, well, then that's voodoo. Basically, it boils down to witchcraft. all of the basic cellular functions are very much described by biologists. And Telegani is just not in the mix. All right, I'm responding to stuff I see on the forum. People that don't want to call in.
Or are they pussified? Well, or they don't have a phone or what?
I guess they don't have a phone, maybe. Maybe they use it for dialing up to the internet. I don't know.
Oh. Well, is that how they justify this guilt complex upon the white race, if they can convince people of that? Like, oh, well, you must be a Canaanite, too.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. That's what it would boil down to. And Abel's blood couldn't be righteous. If Abel carried any of Cain's genetic material, his blood couldn't be righteous because that means he'd be a bastard.
And then they're going to have sympathy for the underdog, the Jew, and the nigger, and the goop. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, why don't we all just go out and bang a half-breed or something and mix our blood? It doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Yeah, that's what it leads to.
Yes, that is what it leads to.
And I think a lot of us white folks are afraid to be a pure, purely identify with Christ, with being an Israelite, because they are sold out to having sympathy towards these voodoo madoodoo superstitions like that.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to know how Abel's blood was righteous if he carried any of Cain's genetic material. That just ain't happening. Hello, Pilgrim.
Good evening. How are you?
Just wonderful. Hello, good. Gary.
How are you, Bill? I just wanted to put something in the mix, if possible. You guys are talking about voodoo, and we supposedly, as a Christian nation, our pastors and what have you are giving sermons on Sundays on how we should feel somewhat or have feelings towards Haiti and helping out our brothers, and they go through that whole charade. And Haiti is voodoo. And it says, I think it's in 2 Kings, that we're not to help out the enemies of God. Why are we as Christians blaspheming our Savior by going and helping out another religion's people?
Well, it is blasphemy. It is. There's no doubt. And that's, you know, that's what our people are about nowadays. That, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what it boils down to.
Are they preaching sermons now to help Haiti?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this has become the national trend, like, go out and get your flu shot now. Everywhere you go, do you have to donate?
They have flu shot billboards here. I thought that was insane when I saw that.
Well, the thing that probably bothers me the most, though, is, you know, whatever I watch, whatever I see, it's, you know, give to Red Cross so that we can help out Haiti and its victims. Wait a minute. If God did that, why are we violating his word? It's like when the apostle cut off the guard's ear when they were coming into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter wanted to stop it, and Yahweh said to Peter, hold on a minute, you know, and heal the man's ear. In other words, he was telling him, don't get in the way of what I want done, Peter. And so Peter had to put his sword back up. And it's the same thing here. God's trying to do something. Our God, Yahweh, Yeshua the Messiah, is trying to do something, and we're getting in his way. And when we get an earthquake over here because he's upset with us, then we start crying. And to me, that's blasphemy of the, you know, of the Holy Spirit, as it says in the Bible. That's telling our God he doesn't have any business to do what he wants to, and he's not a sovereign God, and we're going to show him. And if you don't believe that, ask these preachers out here that are preaching that message. And I just thought I'd bring that up because it sort of been bothering me the last couple of days. Matter of fact, I shared that with Pastor Dan Johns today. He agreed. And I figured I'd run that by Bill, knowing he'd probably agree with it the same way.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're deceived, right? I mean, they're deceived because they're sitting in those pews in the first place.
Yeah, this Haiti thing isn't too different from how many other transgressions they're up to their eyeballs in.
Well, we don't appear to want to listen to the truth. I don't say we. I got to stop that. A lot of our people don't want to listen to the truth. Sometimes I can tell the truth to you know, ask me a question like, what shall I do? I just always tell him to go look and see what he said about the lady that was called a dog. Well, he didn't call anybody a dog. You better go over and look at Matthew 15:24 and then tell me that. But that's all I tell them. But they listen more than sometimes the Israelite. So we're pretty, you're talking dumb as a stump. A lot of us. You know, I can't believe what's going on out there. How could these people be so stupid? You know, you have a black guy running as president, and they vote for him. How dumb. Can't they see what happened in South Africa when they voted for a black guy? Can't they see what happened in Zimbabwe when they voted for a black guy? Is it because we're here we're going to be different? You know, do the same thing and expect different results.
Why don't we hit February when it's Negro Month?
Yeah. You know, it's that.
Hello, William. Are you able to hear me?
Hello, Glenn.
Hey, brother. I just thought I'd call in just for a moment, just briefly to say hello to everybody. I sit and listen quite a bit, but this is the first time I ever called in, and y'all didn't seem to be too crowded, so I thought I'd just call and aggravate you a little bit.
Ah, that's okay. You can't aggravate me.
Hey, you know, there's one thing, just what you were saying there about these so-called Judeo-Christians today. You know, things I try to point out is in Revelations where God created man, and then he created Adam, he breathed a living soul in Adam. And then, you know, I go on from there, and like this one scripture I found here in Romans 5:13, you know, I mean, and
right.
Then Luke 3:38. Sir?
Yes, Paul defines man as Adam in Romans chapter 5.
Yeah, it's like, you know, for God's sake, it's right there, you know. Stop listening to the preachers, listen to the Word of God, you know. It just amazes me, you know. One thing I do often, you know, I'll tell you, you know, if I was a devil walking the earth, I would claim to be God's chosen people, and I would make laws against speech.
Exactly.
And I leave them with that, and I just let them, you know, stew on that a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what the Jews do is they use freedom of speech to push over every perversion, and then as soon as they get in charge, then they pass laws to restrict free speech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, a few years ago, when I become aware of this, it's only a couple times in my whole life I've ever had an awareness, an awakening in my life, a revelation, I guess you'd say. I'll sit here reading, and whenever I read, I forgot what I was reading, but it had something to do with the subject. And when I read it, I knew it was the truth. My eyes got big, and my mouth dropped open. I pushed myself away from the desk, and I went, oh, my God. You know, I mean, there was no doubt in my mind, you know, from then on. I mean, it just, it all come together, you know, or started to.
Yeah, it does. When you read enough, it does all come together. And
yeah.
Every time you read, you still discover new things.
Yeah, and I got pretty daggone angry because I felt, you know, I've been lied to and deceived about all my life. And then it made me want to start digging into it even more and start questioning things outside the box, you know. And I really enjoy listening to y'all's programs and stuff on this talk show. I'm glad I found this. I believe Gerald was the one that pointed me in the direction of the talk show. Thank you, Gerald. But I thought I'd just call in briefly and say hello, and I don't get off here, okay?
Okay, Glenn, thank you.
All right, thank you, brother. Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, nobody can follow that act. What's happening? Glenn left everybody speechless. All right.
Well, he did mention something that's interesting about how they'll yell for equal rights and how we're all supposed to treat equal civil rights, all this stuff. And one day, like, I heard a woman today talking about all this equality, and then the next thing you know, she's up there making some statements downing men and, you know, that were in the restroom or whatever. And you can imagine if a man got up there and said something like that, these women would be squeaking like little stuffed pigs. What they mean is we want equal rights to you, the women, the Jews, the blacks, the browns, whatever. But after we get it, we're going to work hard to take away any rights that you have. See, that's the part we don't get. It's like all the groups, they have women's groups, they got black groups, they got Hispanic groups, they got Jewish groups. Show me the white groups. It's against the law. The media will get all over you if you talk about white groups.
Against their law.
Well, yeah, that happens all the time.
If you even mention white, you are a racist.
Yes, you are. But it's okay to be a nigger.
And bring him in here and worship voodoo.
Well, whenever you see a hypocritical society, know that Satan's in charge of it, right?
Amen.
I mean, Yahshua told them about 12 times in Matthew chapter 23 that they were hypocrites. And pointed out everything that they did. And all those things are happening in this nation today. Every one of them.
Hey, Bill, I have a question. This is Bruce. You know, the Great Commission of the promise through Isaac and Jacob and Christ to Israel, the Adamic race, when Yahweh said you'll be a blessing to all the nations, he was talking about his people, right? Not all the nations.
Well, the nations in the Old Testament sense are the other Adamic Genesis 10 nations. They were all white. That's who is meant when they talk about the nations in the Old Testament sense.
Yeah, and there's no difference with the new.
Most of those nations had already eclipsed by the time of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Persia had already become, conquered by the Romans and the Greeks and the Parthians. Okay, and that's an example. Egypt was the least of nations, as Jeremiah said it would be. And it was already overrun by Nubians by the time of Jeremiah. And the Egypt of the time of, Cleopatra and Antony, that was a totally Greek Egypt. That wasn't Egypt at all. The Ptolemaic Egypt was entirely Greek. That entire culture was the Greeks kind of playing like they were Egyptians. In fact, the Ptolemaic kings even took the title Pharaoh, which Cleopatra herself held for a while.
Wasn't the Nubians still black?
Yeah, the Nubians were black. They overran Egypt about the middle of the 7th century B.C. And black pharaoh sat on his throne for 50 years.
Ask anybody about, well, show me where the blacks are in the Bible. I told the Nubians, I think there's another one called the Sibians or something like that. Those are black.
Well, it talks about, it mentions some Hamitic tribes several times in the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And then it mentions simply, and all the mingled people. And it says that several times, all the mingled people. And it doesn't mention the Nubians by name in the Old Testament. But, I mean, we know they were there in history. And it only makes sense that they were probably among all the mingled people.
Well, there's one thing. It did state that Israel would be a blessing to all the nations. Hasn't Israel been a blessing to the black nations?
I wouldn't consider them nations, but I mean, that's Israel's
a blessing.
I see. the other nations, because Israel produced the Christ and the Messiah, the other nations will also be resurrected. Joshua fully indicates in the New Testament that the men of Nineveh would be in the resurrection, and the queen of the south would be in the resurrection, and they were all white, and they were all from those same Genesis 10 people.
Well, the only reason I use the word nation, meaning another race, so we could say that hasn't all these races...
Well, I don't ever consider the other races nations. I think it's wrong to do that. A nation is our social construct.
Yeah, I understand that part.
Yeah, you know, they have no idea of what a nation was before we came along.
That's what I was getting to, because I had some clown tell me that, oh, are you filling your commission to all the nations? Well, it's not to China and the Mandingos and the Hootsies and all of the mingled people, like Jeremiah spoke. Was it Jeremiah?
Ezekiel, yeah. I think it's in Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, yeah. So, because taking that out of context is communism, Judeo-Christianity, right?
Well, absolutely. There's no doubt it's Judeo-Christianity. The context, when it was spoken to Abraham, in the place it was spoken to Abraham, the context is the other Adamic Genesis 10 nations that surrounded Abraham when it was being spoken.
Yes. Exactly.
And by the time of Christ, Israelites ruled the whole world. The Romans are Zara Judah. The Parthians are descended from the deported Israelites. The Greeks descended from the Israelites of the Egyptian dispersion, of the Danans, from the Danans and the later Dorians and the Phoenicians. They were all Israelites. Israelites ran the world at the time of Christ. A lot of Israelite identity pastors don't even realize that. That the Scythians and the Parthians and the Romans, the three main people that controlled their various parts of the Oikoumene or the white world, they were all Israelites. And most of the other Genesis 10 nations had already passed from existence or were on their way to lose their identity altogether as nations.
Well, there's one thing that I've been reading, there's a website that I told you about last week, I think, Bill. It's called White Mummies in China.
Yeah, they were probably Tartarians. They were probably Scythians. I don't think they've ever been accurately dated back before 400 BC. I mean, I could be wrong, but everything that I read puts them at 400 BC and no earlier.
Well, on that site, they go back 2,700 years. They were there before the Chinese. So when you say...
Well, okay. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. If they go back 2,700 years, that's 700 BC. And the error in carbon dating... That there could easily be a 300 to 500 year error in carbon dating when you're dating something of that antiquity.
Well, the only reason I was bringing that up is to support what you just said, that we were everywhere. We were everywhere before other races even came in. The Chinese have even stated that they learned everything from these white people that were there.
Well, there's no doubt. Eli's right. Buddha was a Saxon. That's fully demonstrable. I mean, George Moore wrote it in 1860, right? It's fully demonstrable that Buddha was a Saxon. But just like the niggers try to make Jesus a black god today, well, the Chinese made Buddha a yellow god 2,000 years ago. Because Yahweh formed us in his image, but all the other races try to form God in their image.
Yeah, it's a 300-pound Buddha.
Well, you could see some Buddhas that I've seen that look like a white man. You know, they got the little thing sticking out, and they got their hands up and everything, but they look like it looks like a white man. I've been in the Chinese restaurants where I said, this is Buddha, the little fat Chinese thing. I says, what's that over there, part of the religion? They said, that's Buddha. I says, what's this? They said, that's later on Buddha.
Yeah, well, you ever see the pictures of the Buddhist temple surrounded with the swastikas? I think that's pretty funny. I think we should build them all over the country. That you know, they're heavily ornamented with swastikas. I'm just making a joke.
Well, you know, every time I see the thin Buddha, it looks like us.
Well, if you understand Buddhism in its better forms, there's no way Buddha was fat, right? Because the fat, I mean, in the ancient world, fat and greed were synonymous.
They ate better than we did. They didn't have a Burger King on every corner.
Well, you know, in several times in the Old Testament, and once it's when the Israelite goes, and I forget his name, but he goes and he kills the Moabite king. He lied to him about why he was there. He told him he had a present.
It's
back in early in the Book of Kings, or maybe in the Book of Samuel. He tells these Moabites that he has a present for their king, so they let him in, and he stabs him with a knife. And they describe how the knife, you know, gets into him, and it says, but he was greedy. That, you know, and that word for greedy, it was synonymous with fat in the ancient world.
And in between the wrinkles of fat to stick the knife in.
Well, right, exactly. But he was described as being greedy. And in the ancient world, the Greeks, too, they equated greed with obesity.
There's a lot of greedy people.
Well, I mean, if we live by that standard today, yeah, I mean, most people could be described as greedy. I mean, I moved up here to farm country, and all the cows got two legs. I swear, it's bad up here.
Some of them go oink oink.
Yeah, it's like every woman I see is grossly overweight. I'm not everyone, but I'm a huge proportion of them. Let's put it that way. And most of the guys too. To be fair, most of the guys also. But I don't really look at the guys, so I can only complain about the women.
So when Yahweh presented himself to Abraham and said to that out of his loins he would become the father of many nations, he wasn't talking about nations outside of his seed line, correct?
No, he was talking about nations from his loins, very literally.
Yes, sir. Now, what
Paul describes the faith of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and there Paul defines it not as the fact that Abraham believed Yahweh, but as the fact that Abraham believed Yahweh that his offspring would become many nations. That's the faith of Abraham.
Yes, sir.
And I would say that today, the faith of Abraham is to identify those nations.
Exactly.
And if you can identify those nations that came from Abraham's loins, then you're sharing in the faith of Abraham. And anything else is a lie.
Well, they say all races come from all races.
Well, they're idiots. Who says that? The Jews say that. The morons say that. I don't buy the things the morons say.
Well, the trend now is we all came from black people, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what the evolutionists say. We all came from niggers. I don't see any niggers turning white today. If we came from black people, then more black people should be turning white, you'd think. I mean, especially since we've had them in Canada for 400 years now.
Not too much consistency to their talk, is there?
There's absolutely no consistency. Listen to the rhetoric of the Jew and look at the world and you see two different things. But I mean, Satan runs his mouth, he's lying.
Every time he opens his mouth, he lies.
Only time he feels guilty is when he's telling the truth, right?
It's when he gets caught lying.
If a Jew told me the sky was blue, I'd tell him he was a liar. And up here it's never blue anyway. It's always gray.
Is that sweet?
As far as Abraham goes, Bill, I understand that the Hindu religion is no longer
older than 700 or 1,000 B.C. And they have what they call Brahmin, you know. Like, it sounds a lot like Abraham. But I'm wondering if they might have adopted.
No, I think it would be difficult. First, I think it would be difficult to date the Hindu religion at all.
Uh-huh.
Because those people have no records that are that old. They have no records that old. They have no records that establish the antiquity of anything they claim. And we shouldn't accept their claims just on their face. And the Jews like to say that they had this religion since 1,000 B.C., but there's no proof of that. Why? Because the people were there. And Hinduism is basically, it's another layered religion. Yet, you know, as different clumps of diverse people got joined to one another, that they would amalgamate their beliefs. And Hinduism is really an amalgamation of various religions.
A lot of Judaism in that also.
Oh, a lot of Jews in that. A lot of the bad figs went right to India. Yeah, at an early time. A lot of Jews wearing that dark skin over there.
They've always wore.
Well, have you ever heard of Philip. Gosh, getting tongue tied.
Let's get it out, Bruce. Come on.
The Theophany Society by Helena Blavatsky, who was a Russian Jew, who picked the world teacher. They wanted him to be the Messiah, Jiddu Krishnamurti. From India, and he was very black. Well, you know, as he grew older, his skin lightened because he wasn't out in the sun all the time. But he is like a Negro Indian little boy, and they set him up to be the world teacher and Messiah. And he stood up and told them that they're all full of crap. Back in the 20s, I don't know if you ever have you heard of him, Jiddu Krishnamurti, but it turned out that he was against communism, but at the same time promoting it doesn't matter what color your skin is, and you know, it was obviously he was promoting the same kind of Jewish rubbish, and he was surrounded by Jews. This Jiddu Krishnamurti, David Baum. There all kinds of Jewish little rats were surrounding him. And have you heard of Jiddu Krishnamurti?
No, I don't read garbage. I don't fill my mind with garbage. I don't read about. I know about Madame Blavatsky kind of by accident, but I don't fill my mind with that garbage. I wouldn't read a. I wouldn't read a word she wrote. She was a Jew pig. I wouldn't read anything she wrote.
Oh, I don't read anything she wrote either, but I know about.
I believe in intellectual hygiene. I don't read that trash.
Yeah.
I don't want to know about them. I don't know about them. I don't want to know about them. And if I know anything about them, it's an accident.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, this is Obama was presented as a messiah too, so they're promoting these Satan on two legs walking around. As being the Messiah, that's what I'm getting.
That's worshiping the beast. I mean,
yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what it is, and people do. They worship the beast. I hate to be a white man that voted for Obama on a Judgment Day. They're better off hanging themselves now, getting it over with.
Well, you know, it's just absolutely amazing how the blacks, almost 100%, with 98% or more, voted for Obama. They vote for big government every time. They always talk about.
Well, the Jews know that, Gary. The Jews know that. They've played that up since the 1800s. And that's why they flood this country with minorities, because they always vote for big government.
Because they cannot do it on their own. They have to have something that they can take. You know, they have to be supported. They, you know, well, we have to be supported too, but we rely on our Messiah to support us. They rely on man
We rely on God and on our own self-sufficiency and what we're made of, because that's what we're made of.
Yep.
When my pilgrim ancestors came over here and built a wooden hut to live in Plymouth Colony, and it snowed 2 feet and the roof caved in, that they weren't jumping up and down for King George to come build them a new wood hut. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No.
The king didn't come over and build them a new hut, send the army to build them a new hut. They had to get off their asses and do it themselves.
They weren't able to call Red Cross and Obama and all that to help them out. You know, that's the difference between, if we have a crisis here, none of the other countries around this world, I mean, you're not going to get China or India or anybody else to jump in and say, well, let us help you guys out. You're on your own, that's what they say. You know, but they sure expect it from us. But I can understand why they would do that, because of who we are. We're Israel. And we could do it, but we can't do it as long as we're supporting all these other races. And like you just stated, Bill, they always vote for the government to take care of them. The only thing that's hard to convince them of is the government has no money. So that means they have to steal the money, and they know that the government has to steal the money. And who are they stealing it from? And they know that.
Well, right. The government's never had money, though.
But they have to steal it from the white man.
Well, of course, because he's the only one who produces anything.
And the blacks and the browns
know that.
But that's,
you know, that's what democracy is, Gary. That's what we've devolved into. A democracy is this. If you and I and Brett were on an island and we found six coconuts and we split them up, and you and I were pigs and we ate our coconuts the first day and Brett was smart and saved his, on the second day we just vote to take his.
Yeah.
That's democracy.
Called mob rule.
That's what it is.
In this country, it used to be the assemblies of each state, their government, picked the two senators that would represent that state. That way, because the assemblies were picked by the people, so the people would pick the type of assemblyman that would vote their way. So they would avoid.
Yeah, right. One house was about indirect representation, and one house was about direct representation.
Yeah. See,
and
so
then
what
the senators
happened,
worked for the various state assemblies.
So
they,
what happens
is, to them.
Is the Jews come in and say, "Wait, we got to get more mob rule here." So they made it so that the people elect the senator.
What was that, like the 23rd Amendment or something? It was an amendment.
I think it's a little earlier than that.
It was evil. It was evil.
Because if the senators had to represent their states, they would be singing a different song in the Senate. That's
well, people get the government they deserve. That's what it boils down to. There's no doubt. I've seen people back home in Jersey City for 20 years bitch about Congress and vote the same crooked bastard back in every other year to the Congress seat, and he'd have that Congress seat for 20 years. And the whole time the people are complaining about the Congress, and it's everybody's congressman but theirs.
That's right.
And they get the government they deserve.
Don't blame my pet pig for eating your corn.
That's what it boils down to. And they get people get the government they deserve.
Can't wait to see how many incumbents go back in this time.
Yeah, well, I bet at least half of them do.
Well, you gotta.
We don't have a political solution. It's ain't even to vote.
Okay.
But if you gotta vote, just vote for anybody but the incumbent.
Well, I think there's some stuff going to start happening here pretty soon. It's going to, you know, I listen to what Pastor Eli says about this stuff, and I happen to agree with a lot of that. And I think by the end of this year, we're going to start seeing some things happen that I don't think everybody's going to enjoy.
Well, a lot of people hope that, but you know, they could print some money and breathe some life back into this beast real easy.
Well,
they can keep this hanging on for quite a while.
They know exactly what they're doing to Jews. They're going to bleed this out for as long as they can. Until they could feel safe fleeing to China, because they're all going to have to flee to China.
China would be a very tricky terrain for them. Not like dealing with a white man.
Well, they're going to have to flee somewhere.
Yeah. Well.
Or try. I mean, I don't think they're going to get away this time, but.
Well, Bill, isn't it true, like, if they go to China, like you're saying.
Well, look at, they built up China. That's what they're doing. They're feathering a nest over there.
That's true, but.
Chinese do not work on a white man's scruples. The Chinese do not work on a white man's ethical situation.
The Jews have already polluted. They've been in China before. A lot of Chinese have Jewish blood. You'd be surprised, and it can be established.
Well, they spread opium through there, but what was his name, Sakun?
Well, I mean long before that. I'm going back to the time of the Khazars. I'm going back 1,000 years.
We go back to the Mongol type people. Yeah, that would be true. But you see, they never could stay in China because without white man, all the stuff that they like can't exist.
Well, you know, the tick is always going to pick the fattest deer it can get. You know, that's the way it is.
But sometimes that deer gets skinny real quick. If there's a tick that sucks all the blood out, gets you sick. I can't see Chinese. The only reason the Chinese are making it now is because of us. They're sucking it all out of us.
Well, of course. They couldn't sell anything in China. People in rice paddies don't need Microsoft mice. Yeah, you know, people are, those people don't know what to do with computers.
It's hard to drive your car around a rice paddy, that's for sure.
They can build one after we move all our machine tools over there. And show them how to do it. That they can perpetuate it, but they can't. They don't need, have any use for this stuff. They don't have any use for consumer goods.
They can't create beyond what they already have. Like the white race, we just keep inventing things. The Chinese don't. That's one of the things. But when Eli came up with that, we were in China before them, and the Chinese, everything they have, they basically got from us. But that's where they stayed, stuck right there. Now, you could say the Jews were there, and I agree with you, because they do like they always do, and they got all the stuff. But then when we got out of there and went west, that's where they stayed, right there. They never advanced any further. They're stuck because they can't invent unless we come back and show them how to do it again or show them more progress, like that little thing they got that does calculation, you know, you put the beads back and forth faster than a computer. Where do you think they got that from? They didn't create that little thing. We did. It's one of our inventions, you know, thousands of years ago. So what they know now, that's all they're ever going to have. Once we're out of the way, that's all they're ever going to have. That's it. They're not going to get any sharper. That's the end of the line. You know, the pencil gets dull. At least that's the way I see it, unless when you guys have something different to say on that issue.
Well, I don't think it matters. I think this is the last hurrah for this age. It doesn't matter. And we like to complain about it, and we like to point the evil out, and we have to. But it doesn't matter, because it's over with.
I tend to agree with you.
It might take 30 more years. It might take 30 more years. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to happen in 2012. I surely don't think it's going to.
Well, if it takes another 30 years, I'm not going to be here.
Our birth, all of the prophetic pointers surely seem to be fulfilled.
It can't go a whole lot longer.
We have no birth rate. We're not even replacing ourselves at 60%.
You know, that brings me to another issue, another question that I had that struck me today. And now think this out before you jump all over me. I know that the standard line is white people have got to breed like rabbits. Get out there and breed like rabbits. I understand the population problem. But when you look at, and from certainly the godless white nationalist point of view, that obviously is a necessity, considering what they're looking at and what they're facing. But for us, you know, multiply and replenish and all that was said to Adam and Eve initially. And as far as I know, it wasn't written into the law or put into the Ten Commandments, any minimums in terms of birth rate. You know,
well, no, when Yahweh wants to,
you know,
when
he don't,
wants
by
to
nature,
have children, we'll have children. And when he doesn't, I mean,
well,
Abraham and Sarah had children 100 years old, right?
As we're looking at the end here, everything is kind of happening and lining up the way it said it was going to, and that we would be flooded out and that only a remnant would be left, and you're talking small numbers.
Well, right, so, the last remnant was only 8.
I know.
I mean, that's a remnant.
And frankly, I personally think there's a whole lot fewer of us real white people left than even we think there are. I think a lot of what's walking around there is something else altogether.
Oh, I think only probably about 40% of the people that are perceived as white in this nation are actually white. That's my own belief.
So from our point of view, I don't know that this mad rush to have, you know, families of 10 and 15 children is really our appropriate priority at this point.
Well, right. But I mean, it's only natural to be concerned.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, you look around and you see what's happening, and it is a bad thing that's happening, but it's a bad thing that's supposed to be happening.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's why I have that worded on my website the way I do.
You know, I understand why people would...
Unless, and I quote a prophecy. I quote something from Galatians that Paul repeated about the... Yet, you know, many more the children of the desolate than she who has the husband.
Yeah.
Israel is she who has the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the desolate are those who are not Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Those who aren't white. They're the
mm-hmm.
desolate.
Mm-hmm.
Be gladdened, barren who is not bearing. Break forth and shout, she who is not travailing.
Yeah.
And in other words, it's a statement to the race that's not having children.
Yes.
Because many more are the children of the desolate than of she who has the husband. And I have that right underneath that Muslim demographic video that I used to have on the front page of my site.
Until
the Jews stole my videos tonight.
Mm-hmm.
all the videos are gone from the front pages from Christigenia.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
I don't know. I have some kind of technical problem I had to work out. If you want to watch any of my videos, go to christogenos.org, where all the videos are in place.
Okay.
Have you been to Christogenos?
Yeah. I've been to all of them.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
You have about, I would say, I have got an encyclopedic bookmark list, and you're taking up about one-fourth of it.
Well, hey, it's I'm trying to put the .org in, Christogenia.org, you know.
I did uncover a few more multiple question marks in some of the articles at Christian's site. Today.
Well, I have a problem, okay?
Uh-huh.
I have a technical problem there, too, but it's
uh-huh.
for a different reason. When I built Christogenia, I built it in its current form. I built it at Christogenos.org.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was all in place, I did a data migration. I migrated the data over, plopped it right in place, and everything worked like a charm. And everything, all my Greek fonts showed up, and everything fell in place. And I did Clifton Site. When I finished Clifton Site, I did it at emmaheiser.christogenos.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I migrated the data the same way, and all the Greek fonts got wiped out.
Oh, this wasn't Greek fonts they were replacing, though.
It would be any
I know
extraordinary
your Greek
characters.
Hmm?
It would be any extraordinary characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so I have to re-migrate the data is what I have to do, but I have to find out why the migration I did failed so that I don't repeat the process.
Yes.
But it should have – I migrated it the same way I migrated Christogenia's data. Yeah, it's not rocket science. I mean, you write a few SQL strings to download a database to a flat file, and you upload it to the other site.
Hmm. Well.
But it didn't work. It didn't fly. I don't know what happened.
Now, Bill, run that by again about the woman with the husband you were just saying that had.
Well, it's a quote from Galatians, and Paul's quoting from I don't know where, from somewhere in the Old Testament.
That's okay, but just go by it again because that was very interesting, and I wanted to.
It's Galatians 4:27 and 28. For it is written, be gladdened, barren who is not bearing. That describes our women today, if you ask me. Break forth and shout, she who is not travailing, and that's pointing to, that indicates travailing in childbirth. Because many more are the children of the desolate, the other races and the mixed races, than of she who has the husband. She who has the husband is Israel.
The word does the word desolate there mean without God? In other words, whenever you have a desolate.
No, the word desolate means barren. It means that aren't bearing is basically what it means. No, I'm sorry. The word desolate here indicates those who don't have the Spirit, who don't have the fruits of God.
Yeah, see, because it says the abomination of desolation.
Well, right, and it could be connected that way.
Yeah, see, so the Obama, we have that nation, we know what that is, of desolation, not of God.
Well, you might say there are no coincidences in language because Yahweh's the author of language too, but it's awfully convenient, yeah.
And see, that's why I wanted to say if that desolation means without God, that would certainly be.
No, the children of the desolate, and the word there is the same Greek word for desert.
Without.
Right. It's that they are desert. They are barren. They in other words, they're really the barren ones, and Israel has the husband. That's what it's saying, that even though we are not having children, we are the ones with the husband.
There's also a reason why we don't have children.
And he doesn't seem to be overly concerned with huge numbers. It doesn't seem that he has ever been dealing with massive numbers of people. As you go through,
well, right,
he's always dealing with
small. Well, right,
but
it's only natural to see your race go from 20% of the population of the planet down to 3% to be worried, right?
Sure.
It's only natural.
Sure.
It's only a fleshly reaction to what's going on, and it's hard to deal with. It's hard to bear. It's part of our punishment. We're clearly told in the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience that if we weren't, obedient to his word, that we would be afflicted in this way. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 28, 29, 30 in there.
I can remember when I was young, which was a long time ago, but I didn't want to have a lot of children because that would certainly take away from me having some of the other things that I wanted. And then I asked the wife to go to work so that we could get the things that we wanted, in other words, the material things, instead of doing like the Savior says, children are like, arrows in your quiver. And that wasn't my plan. My plan was to have all these things. And,
when I was able to, when I wasn't in prison, I had 6 kids and 2 wives, and none of them ever worked. And I swear I would have had 2 or 3 more kids if they didn't lock me up. The bastards. I would have had more children if I could have.
Well,
I love you, Bill. You made up for some of the rest of us.
I tried like hell. And there, there's 6 kids that I got pictures of, so that's all I'll claim.
Well, you got to remember, when you were locked up, God used you another way.
Yeah, 23, I don't know. That we were close to 20% of the population of the planet at one time. And because our medicine and food technology has greatly increased the life expectancy of the other races, that is why they have gotten to be so populous and we've become so few. And it's a two-way street, you know. As they have gone up because of us, we have gone down because of us. We've done it to ourselves.
I was reading something, now that you mentioned the other week, I was reading about Liberia and how they went into Liberia and they made slaves out of the blacks, where the blacks made slaves out of the blacks. And then you come up into Nicaragua and some of those areas, and how, and what they do, they call their women hoes. We know where that word comes from now. And the reason for that is because they are the ones that do all the gardening with hoes, whereas we use plows, or they use hoes, and they support the man. He don't do any work. She does everything and has the children, and then what happens is he can get as many of those women as he wants. It's more comfortable for him. All he does is party and drink. And then what happens is when he gets so many wives, he doesn't take care of them all, so they all go out and find another man to take care of their problems.
Well, right. I only had one wife at a time. I'm not going to claim to be an angel by any means, but
no,
I only had
I'm
one
not,
wife
I'm
at a time.
I'm talking about these guys are polygamous. But then what happens is these wives have other kids, and this guy goes, I don't know who those kids are, who they belong to. So they end up not supporting them, and the hoes or the women end up supporting the man and the kids. Now, that's pretty what's happening in the black community here today. I've seen black women that say, I don't need no man to support me. I support myself. I need one to get over here and do this and that, you know, in other words, around with her, and he can go on home. He can do whatever he wants. I have the money. Now, that sounds pretty well like,
well, that's feminism. That's feminism off the hook. Yeah, definitely. And they you know, that is their tribal culture. However, we in our disobedience and the basic decimation of our culture and society, what we have to a great extent adopted nigger culture. And
that's
culture,
what I read that,
and all throughout the West.
It's called Africanization of our country. And you're absolutely right. That's what's going on with our country. You know, we're trying to be like blacks. You know, we got these women running around with a lot of kids and government supporting them, though. It's not like they're doing it. And the man, of course, the men are paying child support. It's a little bit backwards. But the women want that type of freedom, you know, to do whatever they want to be as decadent as they wish. And
well, yeah, well, that's feminism. And you know, I used to I told the niggers this too, and all these black guys I knew or that were around would tell me that they had 10 kids and 11 kids and 18 kids and you hear all these crazy claims, and I used to tell them all that every nigger thought he had 18 kids, and that's because every black woman that has a baby probably tells 18 guys that they're the father, hoping that one of them would give her some child support.
Well, you know,
she gets on Maury Povich.
Did you ever watch?
Well, that was the theory I worked out, and I'll bet it works. I'll bet it's pretty accurate.
When you watch games, you know, usually college, but even professional games, of football or basketball, when they show the black sitting there and he turns around, he sees the camera on him, he takes his hand and he goes, hi, Mom. You know, they all do that. Then they go to the white guys and he goes, hi, Dad. And I used to sit there and wonder, why do they do that? Because the blacks don't have a dad. They don't know who their dad is, as a rule.
No, they don't.
Well, the white guy, his dad helped raise him. The black guy, his dad's out being a bum.
Yeah, you know, there was this black woman with 12 kids, and she named them all Leroy. And one day somebody asked her why she named them all Leroy, and then she said, well, it was easy to call them. When it was dinner time, she just had to yell, Leroy, it's time for dinner. And then somebody asked her, well, what if you only want one of your kids? And she said, well, then I call them by their last name.
Very good.
Yeah, but, you know, what we're talking about here, it's the truth. I mean, I lived a black area. I lived in an area that turned black. And what's going on is the truth. You see a black woman, she's got a whole bunch of kids from different dads. And you'll see a lot of these white women that land with blacks. Same with them. You know, they have a lot of black kids, but they all got different black dads. And they're collecting welfare for all these kids. And
well, you know, that's the tribal society and the rule of the jungle. They live by the law of the jungle. And the law of the jungle, you know, whichever female happens to be around at the time when the male feels like it, she's getting it. That's the way it is.
Yeah,
a lot of these Mexicans
out here, the really primitive, grunty Mexicans that come out here.
They're the same way.
You see these little squat things walking around with multiple kids, and there's a guy that's, you know, got her, and he's got some other one over there, and one down in Mexico, and one over here, and there's no marriage ceremony of any kind.
It's basically the law of the jungle. Well, when you're a lion in the jungle, and whatever female's around when you feel like it, you got the energy, that's the one you do it with. And that's how the Mexicans are, and that's how the Chinese are, and they don't care.
There's no allegiance to their compact with their mate. It seems like the whites are the only ones that do that, and we try to convince all these other races out here to follow our lead. They're saying, you guys crazy?
No,
you know, look at all these women I can have, and you only want me to have one? Well, who's going to support all those kids?
We've become like them, and the children of Israel were consistently told, don't have the stranger in your land because you're going to adopt his ways. And that's exactly what we've done. We have become niggers. And if you don't believe me, just go out into the streets and look at some of these white kids.
Well,
I go to town, I get sick. I'm in upstate New York, and 90% of the people are white, and half the white kids look just like, they look and act just like niggers. It's incredible.
Well, isn't these churches supposed to be talking about we're not supposed to mix with other, you know, taking it all the way to their liberal way, other religions in our country, yet these preachers are allowing other religions to come into
our country? Well, that's why Israel was told to be a separate people over and over again, because you're always going to be fascinated with what's different. Our kids are always fascinated. Eve was allured by what was different. We are always fascinated with what's different, with what's forbidden, with what is mysterious. And basically, it's we've gone down that slippery slope, and we've adopted nigger culture. That's where we're at today. And the Jew has helped. I mean, Satan has helped, believe me, with the media and cramming this garbage down these kids' throats. But they didn't have to swallow it. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't swallow it.
Well, you know,
and a lot of the white kids did, but we didn't.
I was over here, you know, there's San Diego's broken up into communities. There's the white community, and there was this big write-up in the paper about it always happens. This white woman and this black guy moved into the white community, and the people there didn't want them there. And I just happened to be fortunate in the store one time, and there was, of course, you see them all over there, but, and I said, are you the one who's written up at the paper? She goes, yeah, she says, a lot of racist people around me. I said, wait a minute. You're white, and all these people around here are white, all right? And you're saying because they live in a white neighborhood that they moved into because they wanted to be around white people are racist. And you being white want to bring in your pet black into a white neighborhood. If you want to be totally non-prejudiced, you should move into the black neighborhood. Why are you as a white woman bringing that into a white neighborhood? Of course they're prejudiced or there wouldn't be a white neighborhood that you want to move into. Well, she just says, you're prejudiced. I says, you're darn right. I live in a white neighborhood. I don't live in a black neighborhood. I said, I moved out of one of those neighborhoods that turned black. I said, obviously you don't want to live in a black neighborhood or you wouldn't be living here. You know, so they are the one that's prejudiced. They're the racist. They want to be able to bring their pet of any kind into your neighborhood And you've got to accept it, or they shove their junk down your throat. You know, but the idea is they're the racist. Because if what they believe is true, they should be moving over to black neighborhood. And I don't want to hear them say, well, the reason I don't want to move there is because it's not safe. They have a criminal problem down there and what have you. That's a racist comment coming from that white woman. All right? We understand that. That's why we all want to stay white. They understand it. That's why they don't want to move into a white neighborhood. But they want to, as Bill would say, be a hypocrite. Say one thing out of their mouth and mean another. Well, I thought I'd run that by since how we're talking about all this black and white stuff. Because I've run into that. I get in a lot of trouble because I open my mouth and say things.
Well, that's, you know, you don't have to like it, but Yahweh said it would happen. And that's what's happened.
Well, you had to live
and
with
everybody that eats the sour grapes will die. That's what we're told. That's the scripture. Jeremiah 31, 28, 29. And that's what's going on right now. Just before the consummation of the New Testament, which is prophesied next in Jeremiah. And the, you know, we don't have the consummation of the New Testament. Well, I mean, Paul says he betrothed us, right? That's engaged. There's no consummation of the New Covenant until the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Well, I know that when you were, for the last 12 years, were forced to live in a situation such as that, you certainly weren't happy, but you seen what...
Well, I knew all about it long before that. I mean, I saw it all my life. I knew everything they were like long before I got there. I knew exactly what I was dealing with long before I got there. I mean, I knew what they were like by the time I was 12 years old. Maybe even younger than that.
I wonder why a lot of our people don't know why what they're like.
Because they don't have to grow up with them. And some of the ones that grow up with them become them. And fortunately, I didn't. Or you know, me and my family, we didn't become like them.
That's what
I
know.
And we lived in, you know, I grew up in a very Anglo-Irish neighborhood, but, I mean, the niggers were always in the circumference.
That's what I noticed in where our white folk don't grow up around these Noctosh, satanic two-legged beasts. They're fed the Jew lie in the school and the media and everywhere else. And they just don't know. They're ignorant and they're stupefied in places where it's all white folks that aren't haven't experienced living amongst these bastards.
But that's like Idaho. You got the black, Constitutional Party's got a black leader up there, and you call up there, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You guys, I told when I called up there once to their party, I said, you guys have never had to live with the blacks. You're sitting up there talking out your butt. You don't know what you're talking about. I says, I've lived with them. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're not the equal to us, or they're not the same as us. You know, if that were true, they would be going like wildfire in Africa. They'd be going like wildfire in Haiti. The only thing that's happening in those two areas is fire, where they're necklacing each other. I says, but other than that, they aren't doing anything like we are. I don't see any whites breaking down the doors to move into black areas. At least in my town of San Diego, they're not. And I know they're not in L.A. either. So you whites up in Idaho and around in those areas, open your eyes. Take the crap out of your brain and put something in there that means something. Because they don't know what's going on. These goody two shoes whites, they don't know what's happening out here until one of them gets raped or gets killed by them. Then they go, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know, I don't have to imagine nothing. Already, you've been told that. The issue is these whites that live in these areas that are protected are as dumb as a stump. is Pastor Dan would say, is a box of rocks. They're just stupid. You can't tell them anything. They already know it. They're the ones that are voting us into crap. You know, if they want that in their neighborhood, go move over here. Plenty of houses for sale. There's plenty of houses for sale in Detroit. That way they can get right in where it's at. I seen it on TV. Lots of houses for sale in Detroit.
Well,
lots of houses for sale in some of those other areas.
You can buy a house in Detroit for $10.
Sure.
The videos are back on ChrisDeGhenia.org. I just upgraded the video player, and bingo, they appeared.
I'm going to have to go and check out your site. I haven't done that, Bill.
You haven't seen my website?
No, but I will.
I listen
to guys all the time. I don't even go to Eli's.
I don't like to brag. I probably have the best identity site in the world, I think. When you take my site and all the other sites that I put up because I host Clifton's site and a site for Ronald Gardner has a lot of stuff about the Protocols of Zion and Henry Ford stuff. And the new Ensign site with a huge PDF collection from Swift and Comparé and a few other sites. And I think that ChrisDeGhenia is going to – it's gotten a good start this year, and next year it's going to be by far the biggest identity site in the world, no doubt.
Well
– And plus my Mein Kampf site, so.
Mein Kampf. See, a lot of people, as they talk – about Hitler, they talk about the Germans, but they don't know anything about them. They only listen to what the Jews have to say. You know, so I've been listening to Traficant. Traficant lately, you know, he was talking about that guy that they got in Germany right now, that old fella. His name starts with a D. What's his name?
Beats me, I don't know.
Huh? Not Zindel.
Not talking about Zindel, are you?
No. Not Zindel. This guy was the one that Traficant went to Israel to their highest court and fought for this guy because they were trying to say that he was something.
Oh, yeah. John Dem. I can't pronounce that guy's name. I can't do it. The Polish guy from Ohio. The Polish guy from Ohio.
Yes.
The Jews got him raked over a barrel for the second time. It's a damn shame that our country let's the Jews get away with that. But then again, the Jews run us, too. So, I mean...
Now, that's what Traficant was saying. He says, this country is run by the Jews. I mean, he's out now, and he's out there making a lot of noise.
Well, right!
He says, you guys kicked me out of Congress, and you put me in jail. When I get out of jail, I'm going to make you feel bad. And he's
right, 22.
Just that.
John Demjanjuk, or Demjanjuk. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I mean, my second wife was Polish, and I couldn't say her name either.
Well, my wife is from Germany. Whenever I can remember it, it's easy. What is it, honey? Your maiden name. Krupp. That's easy.
Krupp, that's about as German as you could get. I mean, Krupp, they were also a big, the company was probably run by Jews, right? But, nah, it's a German name. It was a big appliance company, Krupp. It was a famous war armaments country from the First World War.
Yeah, that's her last name. So she sounds German, huh? And when you talk to her, she really sounds German. Not to me anymore. When I first met her, I said, you have an accent. What is that? I don't even know if she has an accent anymore. I've been around her so much. But, you know, that's certainly a German name. It's easy to pronounce. But you're right. Polish names. And another one that has those long, hard names is those Slavs. The Slovenia. I know a guy, he says, he says, you can't say my last name. And he says it, and it's real long. He's right. Can't say it. I don't know why they have all them hard names to pronounce. You know, they can't have those simple names like Nelson or something. A lot of our names, though, I don't know if you've done any research on it or not, Bill, but I found that a lot of our names come out of Egypt originally. What we call English names.
I'm sorry, I don't study Egyptian. I don't know if we really can. I know, you know what name came out of Egypt? And it's really a Murano Jew name? Mendez came out of Egypt. And you know what Mendez is in Egyptian, in Egyptian mythology? Mendez was the goat god. And there ain't nothing better than seeing a Jew named Mendez, because you know he's a goat.
Yeah.
There ain't no way he could be a sheep if he's a goat.
There's some of these top Mexicans in these Mexican groups that are named Mendez, and some politicians that are named Mendez.
Yeah, well, a lot of those Spanish names are really Jewish names. I mean, Clifton has a paper on his site that explains that, and it's a Spanish guy explaining it.
No, they're probably Jews.
Yeah, well, they're all Murano Jews. Perez is a you know, I mean, Shimon Perez. It's actually a Hebrew word. It's from a Hebrew word. Peretz, meaning depart, which is the word that we get the English word part from. There's no doubt.
We don't, the Americans, a lot of them don't know, but Columbus was a Murano. He came over here. If you do this study, which I know you have, Bill, is when he went to Elizabeth, you know, let me go over there and make us a place that we can get all the Jews out of Europe and put them over here. The only problem is...
That was Isabella, by the way, not Elizabeth. Go on.
Yeah, Isabella. And that happened. They brought a lot of Jews over here, but they didn't get them all out of Europe. They brought them over to the islands there down in South America. And that's why those names are so prevalent that you're just speaking about.
Well, you know, the Bishop of Havana, back when the Spaniards, you know, a lot of the Spaniards were white and Christian. And the Bishop of Havana had written to the King of Spain around 1550. And he said that if you let any more Jews come over here, you're in danger of losing Havana as a Christian city. That's how many Jews were in Havana. And people don't realize that a great number of these South Americans and Mexicans and the Hispanics or Latinos or Ladinos is the proper name for them from the Caribbean have Jewish blood. The Jews fled here in great numbers on the ships of the conquistadors. There's no doubt.
If you go back to Rhode Island, where, you know, I know you're familiar with, there were some Jews that owned shipping companies that were the ones with Mexican names or Mexican sign names that were the ones that were bringing in all the slaves. They owned the ships that did that. And they're in Rhode Island, it's in their archives, who their names are and the money they made, what have you. And they carried the Spanish sounding names. So you're correct.
Yeah, well, the word Ladino is an old word that describes that these Turkish Jews that ended up being Sephardic Jews that ended up coming over here. Ladino, L-A-D-I-N-O. And the word Latino is a corruption of it. And Latino did not appear in most American dictionaries until the 1980s. And that's the Jews pulling a fast one over on us because they're describing themselves. They just changed the consonant a little.
Is that Ladingo or Ladino?
Ladino, L-A-D-I-N-O. Clifton has an article on it on his website.
Wasn't the Moorish invasion of Spain by those Turk Jews?
It was orchestrated by Jews. It was the Jews who basically got the Moors, convinced the Moors to invade Spain to destroy the Goths.
But the Moors also were Turks, right?
They were Arabs. They were Turks per se, but they were Arabs. Yeah, there's no doubt that they're Canaanites too. They're part Canaanite too.
If you with anybody, Bill, gave in a talk on what you're just now talking about and what happened in Spain and in Portugal.
Well, I mean, we've mentioned it often enough, but I've never done a paper on it.
Well, maybe you and Eli might do a talk on that, because that would be very interesting.
Yeah, most of my papers are based on the origins of our race and not the destruction of it. You know, I mean, but yeah.
But I know you know a lot about the destruction of it also, so that would be interesting. In other words, this is the end results here, and if you do the same thing, expect the same end results. You know, that's, of course, we're doing the same thing Portugal did here. Portugal let a lot of blacks in and Jews, and the next thing you know, Portugal used to be blue-eyed blondes, and look at them today. Same thing with Spain. Same thing with Italy. Same thing with all of Europe. Things bad are happening. My phone is, the battery's going low, so I'm going to say to you guys this evening and listen to you on the internet and say, y'all bless to y'all.
I'm sure everybody will be upset, Gary.
No, I know they will. I can feel it right now. Okay, y'all bless.
God bless you, Gary.
Well, Pilgrim Martin told me he'd call in tonight, but he didn't. He's a no-show, I guess. He's probably got something going on. He's
have
probably
you,
over at Linder's or something.
Have you seen that documentary made in Germany called The Eternal Jew, Bill?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I never watched too much TV my whole life, right?
This is a German documentary made in.
If it's on my site, chances are I've seen it. If it's not on my site, I haven't seen it, or it's no good. I'm kidding. I did watch part of that House of Rothschild movie on my Mein Kampf site. That is such a perfect portrayal of the Jews. I mean, it's incredible that they told on themselves like that.
Yeah.
Yes, Pilgrim. I thought you were going to say something. Don't everybody talk at once now.
Patricia's still here?
Patricia must have left us. She's not here.
Nice. Well, in that documentary made in Germany, they described, they compared the Jews to the rats that spread from Asia all over the world, how they just spread out.
Yeah, and they spread on the trade. It's always trade that's our demise. It's always international trade that leads to all of our diseases, our problems with race, our problems with sickness. All those plagues in medieval Europe started with the trade route and the rats and the filth coming from the east.
The merchant traffickers, huh? The merchant traffickers.
Right. I mean, they traced the bubonic plague, the black plague, from cities in Asia, right across Eurasia and Europe.
Mm-hmm. And black in Hebrew means plague, huh?
Yes, the word black, you know, I looked for the derivation of where the word black could have come from, and there's a word in Hebrew that's B-A-L-A-Q, balak, and it's the Hebrew word for plague. And if you look at, if you really think about it, the three words are related. The black, the plague, and the Hebrew word, they're all related words. They are all, you know, the same word. Different, they're all proto-Hebrew words. They're all different variations of the same word.
Yiddish is subversion of mongrel in German, correct?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's got some Hebrew in it, but it's German. It's German. It's Polish. It's several other European languages. You know, wherever the Jews went, they added these languages, these words to their vocabularies, it's an absolutely filthy language.
Yes.
Did I ever tell you Esperanto?
Did I ever tell you the ex-Gook wife, how her father was a Spanish Jew who came from Spain to the Philippines? And she told me that he had held a gun to her mother's head, who was half Chinese and half Filipina, held a gun to her head, this Spanish Jew, and raped her.
when she was 14 years old, and they ended up having 14 kids. Yeah.
Incredible. So he raped her the first time, and she just,
Well, she had a gun to her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I guess he was in the... She said he used to go out to the field and do things with animals. And the mother would lock the door, well, the girls, at night. So, yeah.
Well, you know, there's probably a million horror stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again. I don't know what to say, but I mean, that's life. That's all day like sheep, what we are taken for the slaughter, right? That's a quote from the Psalms, and Paul repeated it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. That's if we seek the will of Yahweh, we won't be punished in that manner, we would think, or we would pray.
Yes. I think you mentioned earlier you were saying that you think it might be possible that only 40% of the so-called statistical white population are actually Israelite or Israelite. Is that what you said?
Yeah, because a lot of these people on the first look at the census figures. The census every year, every 10 years they take this census. And they say, 75% of Americans are white, maybe, in the last census. I don't know about this next one. Well, first, the other races are much more undercounted generally than whites are. So it's probably less than 75. So let's say it's 70% or 72%. Well, now let's take 2/3 of the Italians out of there because they ain't really white. And let's take all the Jews out of there. And the Arabs, because on a census form, the Arabs, I don't know about this current census, but on past censuses, Arabs had nothing to put down but white. Okay? And then there's the so-called Hispanics. There's white Hispanics and there's black Hispanics. So if you're a light-skinned Hispanic, you could claim to be a white Hispanic, and they count you as white. They count all kinds of non-whites as white on a census report, and then if you eliminate all of the real, you know, the obvious non-whites that claim to be white, and look at the ones that are left, you can probably get rid of another 10 or 20% that don't know it or that got a little cut in them and they're lying or something. I mean, and when you get down to the real white people, you're probably left with about 30% of the population.
And so I would say probably for sure, from what I've noticed encountering.
I might be exaggerating a little, but it's under half of this nation is really white. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So I would say that other half who claim to be white, who are actually a mixed blood, they are extremely more susceptible due to their genetics, to yell hater, racist, Nazi right away.
I'll tell you a story, and this is an example, but it's absolutely true, and I've seen it 1,000 times. If you take a meeting hall or a gymnasium, and you put 10 niggers at one end, and you put 10 white guys at the other, and 20 minutes later, one of the white guys is down there with the niggers.
Yeah.
And then 30 minutes after that, that white guy is back with the other white guy, but he brings three niggers with him. There's a 99.9% chance that guy is a Jew.
Yep.
It's guaranteed that he's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it over and over and over again. You take a bunch of white guys in a prison unit or on a street corner, And one of them runs over to the niggers, and every time it turns out he's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bringing those niggers right into the, you know, the pile of white guys and trying to get them all together.
Yeah.
And I've seen it personally over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill.
I had a Jew in my prison unit for about 3 years, and his game was I always abused him, and he was he was a big boy. He was like 6 foot 250 maybe, but he wasn't as big as me, and I used to I just abused the hell out of him, and his name was Bradley, and he used to stand outside of my cube and talk real loud about how much I hated niggers. And he tried to make all the niggers hear him. And they all knew it, so it wasn't any big deal. And the niggers, they respect you a lot more when you're right up front. But he used to do that all the time, and I used to just laugh at him because he would purposely be trying to get the niggers to hate on me. Yeah, you know, to get them to do something or hate or say something or whatever. And they'd all just ignore him because they knew he was a Jew too. They didn't like him either.
Yeah, that's when I had that Jew call my company after he's called me a Nazi and a racist and all, and there's three Jews ganging, you know, trying to be tough around me. What was I going to say? That's what I noticed is that they want to promote some kind of, oh, yeah, that's what he said. He said, I'm mixed. I'm a mixed race. I said, is that my fault? You know? He's trying to justify his mongrelization to me as though, you know, I'm a...
Yeah, well, in today's society, people would wear that as a badge of honor. That's
mm-hmm.
the perversion of society.
Mm-hmm.
Where 40 years ago, when I was a kid, it was a horrible thing to be mixed. Well, when I was a little kid, we were taught that. My parents taught us that. It was a horrible thing to be mixed.
My parents didn't teach me that.
And we looked down on mixed people. I mean, it was natural. All the kids I hung out with looked down on mixed people.
There weren't any mixed marriages around when I was a kid because they were usually shuttled off to some fringe somewhere.
Well, I mean, Jersey City is the fringe, Pilgrim. It is the fringe. That's where they were shuttled off to.
Can I tell you how shocking, how unbelievable it was to me when I first saw, who is that couple? Betty and Barney, somebody or other, who went through that UFO experience?
Oh, yeah, are the ugly. She's the ugliest white woman in New England.
I was like, seeing that together was just, it was like the first time I saw James Brown on TV when I was a kid, and I didn't think it was human. You know, it was like that kind of, what is that kind of reaction? Because you just did not live with this. People did not live with that in those days.
It's incredible.
First time I saw James Brown on TV and the first time I saw Ike and Tina Turner on TV. I mean, I was like, I didn't even know what that was.
No, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen either of them. I mean, I know Tina Turner from some pictures. You know. That you can't avoid, but I don't know what Ike Turner looks like, and I don't know what James Brown looks like.
You've been very lucky.
I've just, all my life, I've isolated from, you know, as much as I could. And I, you know, you always had them around, but I always did my best to ignore them.
Mm.
I had this, one of the funniest things I ever did was, one day I was standing by a microwave waiting for my turn, and this little black faggot walked up right in front of me, and I'm just standing there looking at him, a dead serious look on my face, and he keeps trying to talk to me, and I'm just looking at him, and he's talking, and I'm just looking at him, and I don't say a word, and he's asking me something, he keeps asking me the same thing over and over again, and after about 5 minutes of this, this big yard ape gets up from the table and comes over and grabs the little faggot by the arm and says, you better get out of here. He don't talk to people like you. And that's where you got to be. I mean, they're always there, but you just ignore them. Just don't give them any respect. Don't pay them no mind. Just, just look at them like, what the hell are you? You know, that's the way you got to be.
Yeah, it does freak them out a bit.
Yes, it does.
Well, I've discovered that Yahweh doesn't even want to really, how can I say, give us favor if we do associate with him. Yeah. So I'm discovering.
I believe we're punished for it. I honestly believe we're punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. If we break the barriers and we don't know it, most of us don't know we're being punished. That's the problem. Yeah, you know, your wife dies, your kids become junkies, and you're a bum in the streets, and you're living out of your car, and you don't know why you're being punished. You don't even know you're being punished. You just, I got bad luck. I screwed up, or whatever. But you don't know you're being punished. Our people don't know they're being punished.
That's right. But I mean, it's wonderful
to everything except their behavior.
But it's wonderful to get beyond that and see the reasons why. And it takes all your energy and work. You can't just, it's not just join in some group. It has to be serious about it. Live it daily. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You have to live your convictions. If you don't live your convictions, you're just being a hypocrite.
That's right.
That's the way I always looked at it. If I didn't live the way I ran my mouth, I would just be a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us are going to be perfect all the time, but we have to try, and it's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And if all your brethren are out there screwing up in the world, it's your responsibility because you know it's your responsibility to be an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's totally in vain, at least you were an example.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was talking to an old chaplain I worked for. He's a Baptist. And I was telling him about the white European people who are the true Israelites who migrated all the tribes up to Europe. And he agreed with me under a hushed voice, you know. And that's what these Judeos do is they...
In the Gospel of John... You know, in John's Gospel, he says something, and I would find it if I can remember one or two of the words. I could do a search, right? He said something about a lot of the Pharisees believing in Christ, but they didn't follow after him because they esteemed the graces of men rather than the favor of Yahweh.
Yes, sir.
It's right in the Gospel.
Yes, sir. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we see it over and over again in today's world. Mm-hmm. It's a recurrent theme. I mean, it happens all the time. Where men know that they're not doing, you know, that the will of God is contrary, and they follow after the will of man anyway. Because they want that promotion or they want that business deal or that position or that appointment or whatever.
Or they want more time or money too.
Yeah.
The Jew promotes us to save two things in our lives: time and money. As though we're going to restore Jew money or somehow put off doing what we're responsible for as Adamites.
If you save money. Next year, it's worth half as much. That might be an exaggeration, too, but it's how it works. If you put $1,000 in the bank, and today you'd probably get about $10 a year interest on it with the interest rates the way they are. and in 5 years, you'd get $50 in interest total But with 20% inflation that they don't even really like to talk about, you really only have half your money. It's the whole economic system is rigged by the Jew to steal the wealth of the nation. That's what the Federal Reserve is all about. That's why when they founded the Federal Reserve, they used the excuse that it would stop inflation, and bread was a nickel a loaf, and today it's $3 a loaf. And that's exactly how much it is. It's $3 for a loaf of bread.
What was it in Greek? M-N-A? Mina? Mina? Or money, the word money? From Greek.
Well, yeah, it actually comes from the Hebrew word monah. M-O-N-E-H is the way Strong spells it. It's the same, you know, it's the same sound. And the Latin is moneta, M-O-N-E-T-A. And monah in Hebrew means something that's weighed out. And that's our word for money. And it was a mina in the Bible, and the Greeks spelled it M-N-A, mina, or mina, or however you want to, you know, nobody really knows how it was pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all the same word.
And it's all
mina, mina, moneta, money. It's all the same word.
Yes, sir. And it's all based on debt, not on actual.
Well, I mean, the original idea that the word meant something that was weighed out, it did mean a measurement of some precious metal or valuable stone or whatever. It did mm-hmm. originally have a good meaning. But today, money is perverted. The Jews just print it off and do with it what they like.
Well, and that for money being the root.
Money's not evil. Money's just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's interest that Yahweh hates more than anything, is charging your brother interest and allowing usury into your society.
It should be the death penalty to actually practice usury or spread pornography or gambling casinos.
Well,
it should be the death penalty.
Of course it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography. Who does pornography destroy? But the young, well, today it's boys and girls. But the young people that get involved in it, they become allured by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was a death penalty, it would be gone.
Exactly. But freedom to the Jew. To the Jew, freedom means the freedom to be a pervert. The freedom to be a sexual pervert, because the Jew is just an omnisexual snake. That's exactly what the Jew is.
Yeah, just like the
nigger. And freedom to him means the freedom to be a fag or a lesbian or any kind of sexual deviant. That's what freedom is to the Jew. Freedom
That's
to
all.
The Jew is those faggots that march down Fifth Avenue, grown men in diapers. Or
protocols talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the Jewish idea of liberty and freedom.
Mm.
It sure as hell ain't the idea that Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin had, I'll tell you that.
But where they promise you liberty whereby they themselves are the slaves of corruption. Yeah.
Well, that's freedom to the Jew, the freedom to pervert everything he can get his slimy, snaky hands on.
Yeah, and Adolf Hitler saw that, and that was a beautiful country that he.
Well, that's why I like all those. I actually just put a new photo album up on the Mein Kampf site too, a new program to handle my photos, and now I got the whole the thumbnails, and you could click on it and get the big version, and then you could click the original and get the original file and download it if you want. It's really cool, the photo album I just put up on the Mein Kampf site. I put it up last night.
Take a look. Yeah.
I've been experimenting with different ways to promote the images, and they're all Life magazine images and stuff I downloaded from the net. I'm just trying to gather them all in one place and catalog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been listening to your talks with Sword Brethren on Bolshevism. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's the Jewish destruction of Christian Russia is exactly what Bolshevism was.
Yes.
It was the biggest crime ever perpetrated.
Well, the third biggest, huh?
Well, I mean,
I guess
there's the murder of God and
yeah.
the 30 Years' War and the Bolshevik
mm-hmm.
Revolution, probably
yes,
in that
sir.
Order.
So World War I and World War II were both Bolshevik wars. Well, both Jew and Spartan.
Absolutely, and
yeah.
both times we, in the name of freedom and capitalism, were persuaded to follow the serpent into destroying our brother.
So
we basically destroyed our own race for the Jew is what it boils down to.
Yes. You speak as a race, not as individuals.
And we did the same thing in the American Civil War, the 30 Years' War, the the First World War, the Second World War, the Napoleonic Wars. If we didn't have all these white-on-white wars the last 200 years, there'd probably be about 3 billion white people on this planet and about 10 Jews.
That'd be too many.
And maybe 3,000 niggers hiding somewhere in the jungle. I don't think that many.
Yeah, it'd be great to have a time machine to go back and tell our
folks. Yeah, I understand that, but it's all about it's all about 2,500 years of punishment for disobedience is what it's all about. Yeah, you know, and we are blessed because we could see the truth, but seeing the truth hurts, and there's no doubt.
Oh yes. Well, I think that explains the goodness and severity of Yahweh. You know, he's not a schizophrenic.
Well, right. The goodness of Yahweh is that every one of those white people that died didn't die in vain, and every one of them will be resurrected. Every one of them still lives today in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Every single
yes, sir.
One of them.
Yes, sir.
And that's the last laugh on the Jew.
Yeah.
Because when a Jew's dead, he can't take his gold with him.
Mm-hmm. Where your treasure is, there is your heart, huh?
Absolutely.
When you love your race.
You got it backwards. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is.
What's the difference?
It's a matter of perspective.
Mm. Well, yeah. Well, the Jew who's attached to its gold, that vermin it becomes the gold. That's why they have Goldberg, Goldstein, Jules. There was a Jew family living on the court back of us. Their last name was Jewberg.
Jewberg? He wasn't a Jew, was he? Jewberg.
Yeah, and I had a computer sent to the house. They had the same address, but their house was east, and where we were, no, theirs was west, and we were east, but with the same number. And I went up to them, and I said, "Did by any chance you get a computer? Because I never got it in the mail." And they said no and ran in the house. So I don't know. Who knows what happened? I'm not going to speculate. The worst thing when you falsely accuse even a criminal, right?
Well, yeah, right. There's nothing worse than a false accusation. That's what the Jews do.
Mm-hmm.
That's you don't want to ever become like the Jews.
No.
Out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter is established.
And even they have to be verified.
The word diabolos, it means to throw out an accusation is basically what it means. And it's used by the secular Greek writers as a false accusation. In other words, to just throw something out there without really being able to establish it. And that's why diabolos is false accuser in my translation. And that's why the King James translators translated it devil. That's what the word is. It means one who casts false accusations. And in my translation, it's false accuser for that reason.
Oh, yes. Now, what about an accusation that's not false?
That well, but it's established by the mouths of two or three witnesses, and the witnesses, you know, it can't just be two or three people that are conspirators. It has to be two or three people with that are good people with righteous testimony, right?
Yes, sir. Like in Daniel with Susanna. Was that her name? Susanna, I think. Or...
Exactly. Like in Daniel with Susanna. Perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. Because one time in the past, I had this Negro trying to sell me a house. He's a realtor.
All right. I'd probably rather make my own dung hut. No, I'm kidding.
Well, this is before I was racially aware. And I couldn't find my camera. And I was accusing him of taking it, you know. And he swore up and down he'd never seen my camera. And sure enough, he didn't take it. I had put it somewhere where I knew it would be, you know.
You never accused even a nigger. You can't accuse him until you die. I mean, and 9 times out of 10, they would have stole your camera, I'm sure. But you can't. You got to be careful not to soil your own reputation with a false accusation.
Oh, yes. But it's in the hall of shame. You know, I keep it there in the hall of shame.
So let me talk about, you know, somebody in the forum's talking about Benjamin nearly destroying themselves by infighting. If you really read that story closely, the tribe of Benjamin was protecting criminals, these men who had raped and killed this woman. And the criminals are described in the scripture as being sons of Belial. And the word Belial, if you check it out in the Strong's Concordance, I mean, the definition is usually worthless. But if something's worthless, it has to be worthless for a reason. And that's because the word Belial also means something that's mixed. The Benjaminites were protecting the mixed people. That's why they're sons of Belial. And that's why the tribe was almost wiped out. They got what they had coming to them.
Wow.
That's what the word Belial means. It means mixed.
Where does that word come from, Bill? Belial.
It's a Hebrew word. It's actually a Hebrew word. It's like there's a whole group of similar words that have similar meanings. It's like Strong's numbers 1097, 1098, 1099, 1100, 1101, 1100. You know, in that group, you'll see the word Belial and several related words, and it means mixed. So the Benjaminites were sticking up for the half breeds. And that's a big mistake, a serious mistake we've always made, was to confuse genealogy and geography.
Maybe that's – I wonder where the word liar came from, because it sounds like lie.
I don't really know where the word liar – the word liar. I'm sorry.
I don't either. I mean,
it may have something to do with lie and sex and somebody telling a fib about it.
But
I don't know that. I don't know the etymology of the word liar.
Yeah, I see.
And it does not have a Greek derivative, so. Pseudos. The word in Greek to lie or to be false is pseudos.
Pseudos.
Yeah. Hmm. That's the word we get pseudo, fake, right? That's where we get it from, the Greek word pseudos.
Hmm. Well, I heard the word sincere comes from sin in the, was it Latin, that meant without?
Linder, I know what a wave sheath is, and that's the sheaths that were used for a wave offering, but I don't know what a wave shield is. I don't know. Maybe Pilgrim knows what a wave shield is. She stopped talking to me. She's still dialed in, but she's...
Oh, no. I have no idea. Is that something like high-tech? Is that like tinfoil hats?
No, I thought maybe she was confusing the wave sheaths, you know, S-H-E-A-T-H-S, which were, like the bunches of grain. for the wave offering. I don't even know what the wave offering is, why they call it a wave offering. Did they wave it or something? I don't know.
Yeah, there were a bunch of different offerings in those feasts. And, you know, that's what I find very confusing about some of this, you know, when some people say, you know, obviously the law is still in effect, they don't separate out the feasts or the celebrations that were really foreshadowings of Christ, and they still practice a lot of these holy days that they practiced in the Old Testament. And there was a lot of that involved in some of those, like various offerings that were made at different times. You following me?
Mm-hmm. But I can't describe them. I don't know why they called it a wave offering. That's really strange.
I don't know.
Did they wave the offering? I don't know.
Feast of Tabernacles is one. I guess that's the same thing.
Well, no, the Feast of Tabernacles has nothing to do with the wave offering. The Feast of Tabernacles is, yeah, you know, it's like a big picnic, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's how I see it.
Hey, Bill, do you ever use Smith and Goodspeed? Do you like that Bible?
Well, when I was young, I got to use Smith and Wesson a few times, but I never used Smith and Goodspeed.
It is like tinfoil hats.
It's supposed to be a real good one, supposedly, like Farrar Fenton and Moffat. It's supposed to be more correct English, supposedly.
Oh, this is what she's talking about. Okay. No, I'm sorry. You know, I don't need Smith and Goodspeed because I read Greek.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to sound like a snob, but I actually pick up the New Testament and read the Greek. I don't rely on a translation. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I mean, I might make a mistake or three, but I read Greek. I don't rely on translations. I do for the Hebrew. I rely on translations. But I could always read the Septuagint, too, you know. But no, we can't. Throwing out the Masoretic text, I mean, we do need it. I wouldn't throw it out. It has many flaws, but I wouldn't throw it out. Yeah, Winda, I'm just surrounded by technology. I guess my brain is just going to be fried because I need it.
Yeah, same here.
Got to get the message out. I'm sorry. Whatever happens to me is, you know, Yahweh gave me the ability to have the technology and do what I can do with it. And whatever happens, happens. I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm not going to wear a tinfoil hat. But that cell phone I got, yeah, that puts out a lot of radiation. It does. I don't use it much. But, yeah, I get weary of that because I could hear. Well, when I answer my cell phone and I move my headphones out of the way for this phone and everything just starts to crackle when I bring the cell phone near the wire for my house phone, you know, for the phone I'm talking on now, all I have to do is bring the cell phone near it and everything starts to crackle. It's crazy. You know that thing's putting out way too much energy. And I get a good signal, and I'm sitting in a basement of a brick house. And I get a good and I got two tiny little windows that are covered with insulation, and I get a real good cell phone signal. So how much energy is that putting out? It's the cell phones are dangerous, I bet.
I just read something in the Free Press lately. I think it said to hold it away from your ear, not put it up close to your head, your cell phone.
Now, there's another thing that, thank God, I never use the cell phone. My only problem really is my computer.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that walk around with a cell phone glued to the side of their face.
What I hate are those little things that they hang in their ears, and they walk through the stores just talking.
Right.
And you look around, and you go, what?
And that was a hard thing for me to adjust to, was the cultural shift with the cell phone. Because in 96, you know, hardly anybody had a cell phone. And I was a business executive for a while, and I didn't have a cell phone. I had a pager in case I, you know, and that's all I wanted. I didn't want a cell phone.
Yeah.
And I didn't really even want to page her, but my wife and my boss all had to get in touch with me. The cell phone thing, when I first got out last year, and I had to go grab the bus to get home in Youngstown, and looking, you know, sitting in a bus station, and everybody around me, and most of them are niggers anyway, but everybody around me, the white people, the black people, they all had cell phones. And they're walking down the street talking on the phone. And I could not get over that. I couldn't believe that. I thought, wow, what the hell are these people doing?
Yeah, and you're going to the store and they're walking down aisles and talking.
Well, I've noticed that too. You know, I've almost answered women that start talking. I'm standing in the store waiting for my mother and my grandmother or shopping or whatever, and I'm looking at stuff, and the woman next to me starts talking.
Yeah.
And you're going to answer her until you see that she's having a conversation with this thing in the rear.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Is everybody that important that they have to talk to people all the time? I mean,
it's an addiction, I think. I know people like that. They just talk. They have to talk all the time. They have to be in touch, connected.
And texting.
Yeah.
Texting is incredible.
Everybody complains they can't get a hold of me because I won't pick up the phone, and I say things like, there's an answering machine, and I might check it.
My one cousin has a daughter that's about 18. My cousin Tammy has a daughter that's like 18. And we had a family get-together last month, and that her Christine, her name is, that's it. She was over to, you know, with her mother at the family get-together, and she sat on the couch and texted the entire time she was there.
Yeah, about what? Thank you very much. About what?
Right, about nothing, about garbage.
Yeah.
She texted the entire time she was there.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, I still haven't talked to the girl. I mean, I don't even know her, but it's crazy. She didn't talk to anybody. She texted the whole time.
Kind of like a conditioned disconnect from reality there, huh?
Well, I think part of that. I think it's part of that teenage insecurity thing. This is a new way of them feeling accepted, validated. If somebody isn't texting them, they feel they're not popular enough.
Out or something. I don't know. It's nuts. Yeah. My son, he's big on the texting thing.
Yeah.
And he's 25 years old, and, you know, he's a big, tough guy Marine, but he's got that texting phone. And it's nuts. And as soon as I could, I got this cheap little cell phone without the BlackBerry keypad, you know. And I can't, it's, you got to press four buttons to get a letter sometimes. It's a pain in the neck to text anything with it. So the first thing I did was I got my son set up, you know, so I could text his cell phone from my instant messenger. Because I could type on the keyboard. But, yeah, it's crazy.
No, I refuse. I draw the line. I will not allow that in.
Well, I had to do it because I wanted to talk to my son, and we were estranged for quite a few years. So I figured I'd just go along with the program and,
yeah,
you know, and hopefully get some of the boys' time or whatever.
Yeah, I remember reading an article about one of these guys up in Silicon Valley who writes a lot of these computer, you know, like you. He's a big developer, right? And then when he went home, his house had no phone, no electricity, no television, no computers, nothing. I guess he had candles and a log heater, but he wouldn't let any of it into his wife once he left the office.
That's probably smart. Good, and I would love to throw all this aside, believe me, and go upstairs and start reading books again because I really miss that. But I think it's, you know, the technology, it's important to get the message out.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, for whatever work that you're doing, you know, as far as you have to be entangled with it. But beyond that, I will not have all these things hanging off of me, ringing, people talking, accessing you whenever they feel like it. No. No way.
Yeah, right. It is very intrusive. And I'm sitting here working, and I'm getting instant message after instant message from six different people, and the email beepers going off all the time, and I'm up to like 759 emails, I think. And,
mm-hmm.
and none of them are from Troublemaker because I've sifted all them out. If I left them in my mailbox, I'd have about 3,000 probably. But yeah, it's just crazy. And 90% of it's vain, but that 10%, that's important, that you don't want to miss, because those people deserve attention, or they deserve answers or whatever, and that's what you got to do. But I get a lot of good stuff I throw up on my website when I see something that's especially...
It just sucks up so much time. Just going in and out of all those emails. In and out, in and out, in and out. Even with a quick scan, in, out, delete can suck up several hours.
Yes, it does. But you know, there's a lot of people, too, that they have to forward everything they get.
Yeah.
So I get, like, the same dumbass ditty 3-4 times.
Yeah.
Or the same stupid joke 3-4 times. And I don't forward hardly anything. I might forward 2 emails a week and take 2 more and put them on my website or on my forum because they never, you know, articles that merit attention, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But 90% of it's just garbage. And I don't know. I'll get stupid articles from somebody, and then I get
long,
you know, because 8 other
long
people I know are on the same mailing list. And they all forward it, so I get it back 8 more times.
Long, long articles, and I go, and don't tell me. I have a friend who is a political freak, and he's, you know, crazy on political everything. And I get articles after article, and I think, how can you possibly even be sitting around reading all this?
Right. It takes...
Much less copying it and sending it to me and everybody else.
If I clicked on every YouTube, if I read every article, if I did everything I get in email, I wouldn't get anything else done. So I let them sit, and then I could clear out 100 emails in 4 hours probably. Well, when I put my mind to it, but I have to devote 4 hours to it, and I don't always have 4 hours to it.
Yeah. And then they back up.
Well,
you can't let it go too long.
I've got almost 800 of them now. and that's you know, I'll bet none of them are older than then 3 or 4 weeks. It gets crazy. And people complain to me that they don't get answers to it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It was there, and I tagged it, and it got buried under 50 more messages or 75 more messages. Once it's off the bottom of the screen, it might be lost forever.
Oh, yeah. I get to a point sometimes that I don't get anything like you get. I get to a point where I get backed up enough, I just start going through, and I click the little thing at the top that checks all of them, and then I hit delete, and then I hit the thing that checks all and delete. I just delete everything. I wipe it out.
Yeah, I never do that. I actually save every email I get just about.
Well, you're in a different situation. You kind of have to for some reason. But
I file everything else. I got about 200 directories, you know, folders that I file everything in.
Yeah.
And then I just hit the search button. I end up hitting the search button at least once a week for something, if I can't find it in a directory right away. But I answer about half my emails right away, because they you know, I could answer them quickly, and they probably they're from people that merit attention, and I answer about, and the other half just build up, and I delete all the junk right away immediately. And I only read about 1 in 10 Russell Walker emails, and then they all get fired.
Oh, I noticed he's gone away.
He has slowed down a lot. I have nothing but vulgarity left for the man.
Well, you know, I didn't really want to be obnoxious on the photo issue, but I've had it. You know, he calls everybody else out for being cowards.
Well, he did email me a photo
of using nasty language. I'm going, where? Show me where.
Yeah, right.
Why am I using foul language?
No, that's my language. I've purposely used. I drew a line. I do have a line, believe me. But I have purposely used extremely vulgar language for months with Athena and Russell Walker and all the rest of these Ephraim Skeptor, Paul-bashing heretics. And I've done it on purpose, and they keep coming back. And to me, and I wrote this last week and sent it out in an email. I didn't send it on my Krista Genninger mailer, but I wrote it and sent it out to, you know, most of the people getting these emails. And I wrote that I've been purposely using this language to prove that these people are nothing but subverters and time wasters, and they're doing this on purpose. And I can prove it for one reason, because I treat them like absolute dog shit. I say all kinds of terrible things to them, and they keep coming back.
And
no self-respecting Christian would talk to me after I said half the things I've said to them. But they keep coming back.
But also, if you look at the pattern of Russell Walker's behavior in this chat room, he will ask the same questions over and over.
Right.
And he will claim, he uses all the tactics. He will claim.
He's an excellent, he's a master at the art of Jewish subversion.
And that's what
exactly
he's doing.
Exactly what he is. And that's exactly what he's doing.
And he wants everybody else to put their information out on the internet. And he was stalking Sword Brethren for a while.
Well, that's why I confronted him with the website. And so did Ken Lent, by the way, independently of me.
Yeah.
And I confronted him like a month ago. You know, where's your website? Where's your writing? Why don't you have this on a website where it is static, where you cannot duck and run every time you get caught in a lie or in a misrepresentation?
Of course. That's why I said to him 100 times, why don't you take this to the forum where we can discuss this and search things, Russell? Oh, no, not there, in the chat room. We'll do it in the chat room or in the email where you have hundreds of emails sitting around.
And Adolf Hitler described these people perfectly in Mein Kampf. You corner them on issue after issue and prove them wrong, and the next day they forget about all of that and they start all over again.
They don't forget about it. They know about it.
Well, they do, deliberately. But they don't bring it up again. They just make like it never happened, and they start it all over again. That's exactly what he – and that's why I tell him that if he was in prison with me and acted like that, I would have knocked him out. I'd have knocked him out in 1 second if he'd have done that to me. If he said anything like that, like he's done to my face, or like he's done in these emails, he wouldn't be around long.
Yeah.
He'd wake up next week, I swear, because that's the only thing that a guy like that is going to understand, because you've exhausted every logical argument, and he's perverted every logical argument.
But see, the problem is he's getting what he wants. He's getting what he wants. He is continuing to sap and to drain and to distract and to fool some people. They actually will engage in a conversation with him as though he has something legitimate, possibly legitimate.
Exactly.
To say.
They have nothing legitimate to say.
Nothing.
They're only about subversion. That's all they're about.
And that's why, I'm sorry, Russell.
Walker.
This is it. Don't show your face again till you put that photo on that blog.
Well, I have his photo. I do have his photo. He did send me a photo. He did. But I won't post it.
But my point is. Fine. And then he says, well, I don't know how to work computers. I can't post it. Fine. Give Bill permission. He'll post it.
Right, but I wouldn't post it. I'm being honest. I wouldn't post it.
He
can sign up for my forum and post the photo. I mean, if he starts his Judas Scepter bullshit, I'm going to delete him from my forum. I ain't going to have him on there. That, you know, he has freedom of speech. He has freedom of speech to go get his own damn forum if he has something important to say.
But doesn't his dodging on his photograph strike you as another red flag? When he's trying to get everybody else to put their information out there and their photo out there, and he's trying to dodge every – he claims he's out there in the open. Everyone knows who I am. Fine, put your picture up, Russell. Why won't you do that?
Well, everybody knows who I am. You only got to go to williamthink.net. I got it all over the place. I put it all like that on purpose. I put myself right out there on purpose.
Well, you know, for people like you, and I know Eli does another thing, but, you know, it's hard for someone to be a public teaching kind of situation and be anonymous.
Well, exactly. And you know, I figure they already blew up two of my lives, which they actually did. And what's the third one? What the hell?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, once you're out there fully and you are what you are, there's not a lot more for them to come at you with unless they want to haul you off to one of their FEMA camps. But everyone should not be putting their personal information out there.
Well, no, it's not necessary. And I don't press anybody. I don't. I know Brian. I know Sword Brethren's real name, but I don't press him to post pictures on his website or anything like that. It's not necessary.
It's not necessary for
99% of you people to I don't press anybody to do that.
You know, that's open to anybody who wants to, who comes by, you know, who's searching around. It's, you know, the internet. Just even if it weren't CI, if you were in a forum of any other kind, it's not wise to do.
I mean,
I just think he has a lot of nerve. And, you know, maybe he's gone away now that the photograph issue has become, you know, a thing. Because he doesn't want his photo out there.
I doubt if he's gone away. He'll be back Friday.
Yeah,
he'll be back maybe tomorrow. He don't come on this program. I'm not inviting him, but he doesn't come here. I mean, all anybody has to do is go to the front page of my site to see my program schedule, right?
Yeah.
He must know about it, but he doesn't come. But I would only abuse him. I'm telling you, I'd abuse him. I'd abuse him, and then when I got sick of him, I'd shut him up.
Yeah.
I'd click on him. You're gone. This isn't a democracy.
Yeah. You got freedom of speech. Go start a show.
Yeah, right. That's exactly my point. Go put your stuff on a website. Go start your own call and see how many people show up. If you have good ideas, a lot of people are going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way it is. I mean, people... Well, I don't. They all watch Seinfeld, don't they? No, I'm kidding. If you have good ideas and you can present yourself well and talk factually and be a contributor, then people are going to show up. And if you're not a contributor and you're a liar, then people aren't going to show up. That's the way it is.
Yep.
We all have equal opportunity to be to pass or to fail, to do well or not to do well.
But I don't think Russell is about presenting ideas.
No,
I don't
he's
think
about
that's
subverting.
What
that's
him.
All he's about is about subverting.
Yep.
Because he's a Paul basher, and I would bring that out in a debate, but he finally admitted it. He finally owned up to it last week in some of his emails. You see, the Ephraim Scepter people have to be Paul bashers because they do know what Paul says about Judah, and they do know what Paul says about Christ, so they have to be Paul bashers. They also, the Ephraim Scepter theory necessitates a few other false doctrines also. And it's really, they're just taking after the Jews. They're just following the Jews. That's what it boils down to.
Well, you know, the whole book crumbles when you start taking it from their point of view.
Exactly.
It all falls apart. It doesn't work at all.
Exactly.
But they make up the gaps with their opinions. Well, I think I think that it's like the people who say that guy who said he thought that Noah's wife was mixed.
And oh yeah, Dan the clown.
Yeah, that's how they made it through the flood, the worldwide flood, the Nephilim.
Well, that's a lot of people. They rebuff me for talking the way I do about some people, but. As soon as you make up your own scripture, you're in clown territory. You can't invent the Bible yourself.
Well,
you can't show it to me in the book and it's coming out of your mouth and you can't show it in the book and you're trying to pass it off as true history or doctrine, then you're in clown territory. You start making up your own Bible. And if I started preaching what I thought, well, that's Billyanity. That's not Christianity.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people who come through and get to CI, as you know, bring a lot of baggage with them from prior experience. And one major piece of baggage is the fallacy that we have to all be nice all the time. Nice all the time, no matter who it is.
Well, right. If you're not nice, you're not Christian.
Well,
I would say it's just the opposite quite often.
Well, of course. And... you can't sit there and be nice to a damn wolf in the middle of your sheepfold because we don't want to be rude. Well, we'll just let him sit around and be here, you know, maybe he'll see the light one day. I'm sorry, you have the wrong approach.
Well, absolutely. And
how cool.
It's the subverters that accuse me all the time of being brash and rude and violent and cruel and to hell with them.
Well, when you have the job of being a shepherd or a watchman, nice is not going to cut it.
Well, right. When you see a sin, it's your responsibility to speak up.
Uh huh.
And when you see somebody being a deceiver or a false teacher, it's your responsibility to speak up. That's the way it is. And if you don't speak up, then you're abdicating your responsibility. And I've never been a wishy-washy guy in my life. And I can't be wishy-washy here.
I was listening to a recording of, I guess it was his last show, Pastor Dan. And he finally came out and at least said, well, warned people about Wickstrom without saying anything specific. And I thought to myself, well, you know, good for you. More people, that's been one of my, I know it's difficult to do. You know, I mean, you can't sit around just, you know, bad-mouthing everybody else around all the time. But if there are wolves out there, you do have a, and you know it, you have a certain responsibility to at least warn people. If you know something's wrong somewhere and you keep your mouth shut, you're at fault. That's how I see it.
I agree with you.
Because there are a lot of people who are going to be fooled, and if they didn't at least get some red flag raised for them somewhere to cause them to be a little cautious, then, you know, if they get burned, that's partially on your head. No?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's the way it is. That's why, you know, that's why Clifton always says, you know, when he addresses these people like the no Satan people and the, you know, all the clowns, the universalists, the people that got one foot in Genesis 1 and try to admit the other races or what, he always says, my hand, you know, I've written what I believe is true, and my hands are clean of all blood. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Paul taught too. I spoke the truth so that my hands are clean of all blood. That's the way it is. If you're going to go out and teach lies or accept the lie, then the guilt is on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to live up to that in the day of judgment. You're going to have to face that. And you might survive it, but you're going to have to face it. It ain't going to be fun.
No. I mean, you have to do what you have to at least make an attempt. You know, you can't run everyone's life for them, and you can't tell them how to think. And you have to leave it up to Yahweh to guide people. But if you know there's a wolf in the fold or a wolf hanging around the edges of the sheepfold, you got to speak up and say something.
Exactly.
Or you're just as guilty as they are.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'll call it a night. This will be an early fellowship call ending.
Let's see. Only about 3 hours. We need Martin. You gotta love Martin.
Maybe I
love
some
Martin.
4 hours to actually get some work done tonight.
Yeshua bless y'all.
I'm not gonna have time to. I gotta try to figure out what went wrong when I brought Clifton's data over. I know that.
I've been looking through most of it. Looks good.
Well, I know all the Greeks screwed up, and I can't understand why. I can't understand what happened when I did the data migration, because I did it the same way I did the Christogenia site.
Yeah.
And it all went fine, and it's going from the same host to the same host, so it's really strange. I don't know. It's weird. And there's 100 settings. You know, it could be the character set. It could be a lot of different things, but. It could be that I had it open in a in the text editor. I had it open in, and it's one huge like 13 or 14 gigabyte file or megabyte file, the text file basically.
Technology is wonderful until something snarls up like that. then it's
a
living nightmare.
And when you're dealing with all kinds of different disparate systems, anything could happen. Yes. Good night, Linda. Yeah, anything could happen. It's a challenge, you know, but for 12 years I hand wrote everything that I wrote. And I thought for 12 years, you know, those guys that wrote those fat books back in the 1800s, I got a lot more respect for them now. Because I look at my Liddell and Scott lexicon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 2,300 pages, my Liddell and Scott Greek lexicon. And that was done in the 1890s by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and the print is really, really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a task.
I'm not sure they even had index cards back then, did they? I don't know.
Well, they actually said they used paste-ups, you know, pasted up, they pasted the paper into columns. When they got everything on separate pieces of paper and pasted it all together. To take the photo place. Yeah, it's a task, I'm telling you. It's writing stuff by hand. One of my German origins essays typically took me about 10 days. I would sit Monday through Friday because I wouldn't write on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday I would write letters, and Saturday I didn't write at all in prison. And I would write for 5 days. I would work on my notes, compiling my notes together and putting a draft in, you know, getting a draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would sit the next Monday and I would rewrite that, and I'd rewrite it again and send it to Clifton, and he would type it. That's how all my papers got wrote.
Mm.
But, to, you know, 2 weeks to write a pamphlet, and I'd have to write it up 3 times and then proofread it twice. And it's a lot of work doing stuff by hand. And now I don't get half done what I should. I swear.
Mm-hmm.
I should be doing a lot more writing than I've done hardly any writing. And
technology has a way of sucking your time up other ways.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
It saves time in some ways, and then other ways it's just horrible.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I hate to admit it, I can remember back to working on an IBM Selectric with carbon paper.
Well, I'm spending like 5% of my time writing and 95% doing my other stuff, but I'm hoping that once all the websites are put together and done, that it'll be the other way around.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, once it's done, that's nice.
Because I'm not. I still got a lot of work to do. Not counting the 10,000 documents I still got to post on the new Ensign site, but that's going to be a 5-year project. That's not a that's not an overnight project.
No.
I have 11,000 files for the new Ensign site. 11,000 files.
What are they, articles, books? What are they?
Articles, books, all kinds of stuff. It's incredible. It's like 5 gigabytes or something. Like, it's crazy.
They're in file form now.
Yeah.
You just have to upload them?
Well, they have to be formatted. I have to look them over to see if I even, you know, there's some of them I'm sure I won't want really to post, but
yeah.
I have to inspect them, format them, and get them on the site, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
each one takes time.
Yeah, that could be, he's right, maybe it'll be interrupted.
Yeah, right, I hope too, 27, I really do. But it's something that, I feel obligated to do it.
Well, you are making some very excellent information repositories here. The best, you know, the only good CI repository that has really been available on the web is the Israel Elect with the Wesley Swift and Bertrand Tremblay materials.
Yeah, right. Now I got most of that on the new Ensign site, I think.
That's been the only really good comprehensive site that's been around.
Right. But I'm trying to, you know, Chris Degenier is all my writing, and I'm trying to reserve it for that. I'm not going to post anybody else's writing. I post the articles and things like that just to show the who the devil is in the world, basically.
Well, between your stuff, Clifton's site now is very good. The Mein Kampf site, it's not CI, but it's you know, very interesting.
Well, I think the Mein Kampf site is CI, though.
Well, not directly. Kind of
because it's showing the works of the devil. And
yeah.
and it's
yes,
showing, to me, it's showing how, Christian Germany tried to defend itself and It's showing the works of the devils who destroyed it. That's, you know, in Christian Russia, because I think that the Bolshevik Revolution is an important part of the events that caused World War II.
Yeah.
You know, that made Hitler. And that's, you know, it's an important part of that.
But, you're getting, and the new Ensign site, you're getting an awful lot of material up there and available that I don't think, you know, has been available anywhere. So it may be exhausting you. You're accomplishing a lot.
Well, I just pray I'm able to continue. That's all.
I'm sure Yahweh will keep you going a little longer.
We shall see. I'm not concerned for myself, but I mean, being able to continue getting the information up there is important.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'd be happy to help you with anything if I can. I don't know how much I can help you with.
Hook you up with a new Ensign user ID and password real quick. Tell me that. I have a good friend, and I'm not going to expose his. Well, I host a site for him, and he calls himself Munature on the Mein Kampf site, and he sent me so many images, and I put this new image library up so that you could post an image with no technical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to show him how to use it, and I told him I'm putting this image library up, and you're posting the images because I ain't got time even to look at all your emails.
Oh yeah.
And he sends me a lot of excellent material, but and somebody else sent me a CD, a DVD, and it's got 5 gigabytes. I mean, a DVD holds almost 5 gigabytes.
Oh.
And this sucker's like full of stuff about World War II, and it's not all great stuff, but a lot of it's good stuff, and I have to get through that. It's a ton of material. I'm never going to have the time to evaluate it all and post what's, you know, what really needs to be posted from it.
Yeah. Well, let me know.
It's information over. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't have time for my forum anymore. I don't have time for my own forum. I go look and see what I have to address, but I'm sure I'm missing some of it.
Well, you can only do so much.
Well, right, guest 27, I think that That it's at the armor of the whole armor of Yahweh is absolute. I mean, as close as we could get to righteousness and never caving in to the sin or to the Satan. That's what I think it is. I mean, I could be wrong. Never following after the niggers or never buying into that system. And it's hard. It's a hard walk. Okay, I'm going to end this. And I love you, Pilgrim. And thank you, everybody, and good night.
You too. Hang in there.
Take care.
Good night.
God bless.